Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. Per reports, Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski used his no-move clause to veto a trade to Dallas Tuesday. The Athletic's Chris Johnston and Aaron Porcelain reported Tampa Bay and Toronto as potential landing spots for the Norris Trophy winner. Today, CBJ named former Buffalo head coach Don Granato as an assistant. He returns to Columbus after he was the head coach of the ECHL's Columbus Chill from 1997 to 99. NBA, per reports, Utah traded center Walker Kessler to the LA Lakers for two first-rounders and two first-round swaps. Boston signed Knicks center Mitchell Robinson to a three-year deal and former Buckeye Mike Conley to a one-year deal. He's the 14th 20-year vet in NBA history. World Cup round of 32, the U.S. faces Bosnia and Herzegovina at 9, looking to make their 8th round of 16. And in baseball, Cleveland hosts Texas at 1:10, while Cincinnati's at Milwaukee at 8:10. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, welcome into our office today, Rothman and Ice. And if you're watching on YouTube, you'll get a big reveal here in a moment. But it's almost like watching an old edition of Wayne's World, like we're in a basement or a garage. I am Anthony Rothman. This man is Matty Ice already. Got the glasses on.
Ready to go.
We are at the home, I would say, of Jack Nicklaus in a way. This is where he learned how to play golf. Now, he didn't learn how to play golf on a simulator or in a hitting bay. He was out there.
Yeah.
And his summer schedule, I'll go over in a minute because it's a beaut. But this is historic. We have a major in our hometown.
Beautiful.
The 2026 U.S. Senior Open is back. It was here 10 years ago, and it's come back around after a decade. And there are some massive names here, and I will reveal those in a moment, Matty. But maybe the reveal needs to happen.
Let's do it.
You know, there was an old movie when I was a kid, Superman 2. You know, I quote that all the time. And when General Zod said to Lex Luthor, ruler of Australia, activate the machine. Well, Joe Filardo, director of golf at Scioto Country Club, activate the machine, please.
Let's go.
So we are in a hitting bay here, and now the reveal of the U.S. Senior Open. I was almost going to say it can officially start now because we've unveiled it. So we are basically right off the range.
Yep.
And the tent behind me is actually reserved for the players. That is the player media or player dining, player grill. And I looked over at Matty and I said, how did you get a souvenir mug already or souvenir water that says the 46th U.S. Senior Open at Scioto? And you said, I don't know. Somebody gave it to me.
It's a beautiful can, man. I was a little nervous.
Only for the players.
This is mirroring a beer right here. So I was thinking, I can't have this just yet. I got to wait until 3 o'clock. But no, the hospitality has been great already. This is an absolute beautiful, beautiful venue. And so it's just awesome that a major is here right in our backyard. I love taking the show on the road. And so it's a warm one out here, but we're making it happen. We got some great support around us, taking care of us. Everybody knows I'm a diva, so I need all the air conditioning I can get. I'm feeling good right now. AR. So cannot complain at all, brother. Cannot complain at all. Looking forward to it.
There was word that maybe you vetoed the trade of being inside versus outside. We'll get to that. But you know what? I think we renamed the show today Fire and Ice because that's what it is. We're kind of thinking cool. Mm-hmm. But listen, these guys are professional golfers. And even though they are they're at least 50 years old, the guys playing, that they are somewhat acclimated to doing this all the time. Today's a practice round. It'll get going tomorrow through the holiday weekend. You've got major champions. You've got Hall of Fame golfers here. You've got a four-time major winner in Ernie Els. He's playing. You've got a three-time major champ in Vijay Singh. Both guys memorial champs.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Ernie Els, one of the better nicknames in golf history. Do I have the big smooth?
You got half of it right.
Am I combining the big hurt with the big smooth? What am I remembering about smooth with Ernie Els?
The smooth was his swing, but that's not his nickname.
What is his nickname?
The Big Easy.
That okay, so I knew it was big and smooth with Ernie Els. There was something there with that. But
maybe
I remember
when you see him today, just say Big Smooth, what's up?
He was one of those guys.
JB Smooth, what's up?
What up? Yeah. Watching with my dad, which is like, how is this guy this good when it looks like his swing is
effortless.
In slow motion?
Effortless.
But
well, he's
just,
big dude.
He can make up for it there. It's kind of similar to what we see sometimes in baseball. A guy's a big power hitter, doesn't have the hardest swing, but goes out there and can hit it a mile. Ernie Els was one of those guys. Always enjoyed watching him play.
So the beauty of it is that they're at Scioto Country Club, and if you're a golf fan or you've lived in Central Ohio most of your life, maybe the only thing, the closest you've sniffed this place is maybe El Vaquero or something across the street, and now you have a chance to get in here and be a part of this event and see a golf course that they renovated several years ago, and we were fortunate enough to be, Scotty Vegas and I were fortunate enough to play the course several weeks ago, and it is... It's so old school great that it's one of those things that if you haven't seen it, you have to come out and just be able to walk this course. Mm-hmm. It's a big plot of land. It's almost like a big square in my mind, you know, Lane Avenue and Riverside.
Yeah.
And it's not one of those like tree-lined U.S. Open courses. They took out trees, but it's got a little bit of everything. The greens are unbelievably tough. And the cool part is, as I mentioned, the people who are here, and Ernie Els, a former world number one, Vijay I mentioned, Michael Block. I don't know if that name rings a bell to you, but Michael Block, maybe this will refresh you. So a few years ago at the 2023 PGA Championship, Michael Block, who's a club pro from California, played and finished top 15, and he became literally the people's champ. And the dream of all dreams was to win it, but he didn't win it, but he made an ace while playing with Rory McIlroy, didn't know it went in until Rory turned around and said, hey, it went in.
You dropped it in
like,
there, kid.
So yeah. Michael Block is here. Patrick Harrington is here. He's a three-time major champ. I'm just looking down the list. Tom Lehman, who is here, the 1996 British Open champ. The history about Tom Lehman is that my very first year in Columbus, in 1994, Tom Lehman won the Memorial. And he had four straight 67s. And that stands today still as the tournament record at Memorial at 20 under par.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Cooking. Absolutely. Just absolutely scorched earth on that course. What, I've never asked you this, AR. What's your best score ever that you've racked up in your life?
We've got the ace. 73.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember how many birdies you had that day?
I remember having a lot of sand saves. A lot of times where I made up and down out of the sand to save par.
Yeah, so 73 is your best.
Yeah, don't
score.
Remember.
Was it at Turtle?
It was at Turtle,
okay.
Yeah. My very first time I ever broke 80 was actually at Saddle Reserve.
Yeah.
And that was a 75, and then I went years probably without even touching that.
I'll be happy if I break 173, let alone
73. Well, next year at the Memorial for the media day, you're in. You've always wanted to. You've always said, how come I'm not invited?
I think that's been other people asking you, how can I get in? Because I think Scotty's played it a few times. Nice. You've been out there plenty of times. I'm handing that off to somebody else.
No,
TLC, Rhyme Time, anybody.
You can't gift it. That's not a re-gift.
I thought this show was pro-re-gifting.
I think that's frowned upon with the rules of the people that are handing out the exemption. If Maddie's getting a sponsor exemption into the media event, he can't just say, I'm going to let my dad go play. Like, that's not happening.
It's somebody from the station, though.
It's against the rules.
Somebody from the station, though.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I think Rhyme Time needs it. How many of those you got left in you, Big Dog? About 10?
That's the question. How many does he have left? I'm glad I'm not doing one thing. Playing in this today, and maybe even worse, tough, caddying in this today.
I've seen.
Can you imagine lug a bag?
Oh my gosh!
Today,
walking in, no caddy, just no golfer, but just normal people walking around, just sweat seeping through everybody's polos out there today. I saw a guy with a gray polo on that looked black. He was sweating so much. Crazy out here, man.
The one thing we couldn't do is say it was too hot. Like, we're not playing, we're not lugging a bag. Like, we could say it.
I'm going to say it.
But
I'm going to say it because it's on everybody's mind.
Well, I thought for a second you would feel like you were almost, when we had the netting here, I thought maybe you thought we were going to take some rips, like a batting cage.
Down.
Like,
I'm absolutely
it
down.
Has that
I
kind of
it.
Feeling.
I need all the hacks I can get.
So this will be fun today. We'll try to wrangle in some dudes from Player Dining now that Maddie has VIP access into Player Dining. He's getting the souvenir water and all that. So we'll try to wrangle in some guys there. Yep. This is a practice round day, so they all go out and made it play 9. Maybe some would play 18. Oof. But and then it all gets going tomorrow. So we'll keep you updated on that. Or as who said it the other day, we'll keep you abreast of that. Oh, that was Rick Bonus.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm honestly surprised, TLC, that you've never heard abreast before, honestly, because I don't think it's that odd of a word.
Yeah.
You guys have dropped some gems on the show that you guys tell me are normal. I think abreast is...
I think he's seen but not heard. I'm not really sure.
I've heard. Right, that is not a common word. Oh. It doesn't have to be a big word in terms of the amount of
shot money. There, but I didn't get it.
I got it. I think he snuck a fastball by him.
Yeah, I did.
He didn't. He threw an ephus at me, and I'm not giving him credit for it. That was low hanging fruit.
Well, that has to be a siren. Ephus?
No, an ephus pitch?
Yeah.
No, I know, but I think in a baseball conversation, I think ephus is normal. I think
that was low hanging fruit. I don't laugh at low hanging fruit humor.
Oh, yeah, okay. Excuse me, you're king
of comedy here.
Sorry.
Steve Harvey.
Yeah. Sorry, you're
it's
right
Steve
now.
Steve Harvey, D.L. Hughley, Cedric the Entertainer, Bernie Mac, and me. We're the five kings of comedy.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, most people have heard like a knuckler or a spitball or a changeup. Like,
I think an Ephus pitch is pretty popular.
I don't think it is. I think if you put out a poll. I think if you put out a poll right now.
Scotty, thumbs up, thumbs down. Have you heard of an Ephus pitch?
Down for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Heard of it.
Jake, all right, we got one thumbs up, one thumbs down.
Scotty's on my
put out a poll.
Is that the
there
poll? That have you heard of an Ephus?
Have you heard of the
do
term
you know what
Ephus
it is?
Pitch?
Yeah. Do you know what it is? How's that? Do you know what an Ephus pitch is in baseball without looking it up?
I think yes is going to win this.
There's
poll.
No way. That's a no all day long.
We're already at fitty fitty lemon lime, right?
All right, well, that means it's got to be a poll.
A field of two here. Oh, see, he's asking, isn't it, like, he's not even sure, really.
Like, but he's heard it. He just doesn't know what the movement is.
Well, that's why the question has to be, do you know what it is?
And could
not whether you've heard the name.
If I threw 10 Ephus pitches at you right now, AR, how many are you hitting right now? Just making contact.
I'm not even sure I know exactly what it is. It's kind of like you're lobbing it in, like
yeah,
it's coming from
pretty
from,
much
it's
from the moon to softball, the sky.
Basically. Yeah,
straight
right.
Now.
Which, by
that's
the way, there's a rule in softball. There's an arc rule.
Oh, I don't know anything about.
Oh, yeah. When we play, but you couldn't
get out
your
protractor.
I don't know what the. Well, no. At the ump's discretion, they can call it no pitch or a ball.
So you're saying you can only elevate the pitch
that's
so
correct.
Much.
That's right.
Interesting.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. But you're saying there is no rule in MLB. You can come in from the moon if you want.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Come into the
as
stadium
long as it
like
crosses.
Sting. Yeah, if you want.
All right. I don't know. Now that we've revealed kind of what it is, I don't know if the poll's going to penetrate. But I'd
still like to know, though.
I'm just going to ask.
Yeah, throw it out there.
Do you know what an ephus is in baseball? Yes or no?
Post. Oh, so you're not even going to use the word pitch. You'll just say the word.
No,
good.
Just
put it
word.
In quotes. Put it in quotes.
Yep.
Put it out there.
Oh,
have
yeah,
it run throughout
yes,
the show, you know, till tomorrow, and I'm going to guess that no is. If people are being honest, I think we're at least 70-30 no.
If we're not attaching pitch to it, then no is winning.
And the LeBron poll from yesterday will expire at the top of the 1 o'clock hour.
Okay. And by the way, as long as you're on Poll Watch 2026, we need to go back and look at our dear Browns fan on whether Deshaun can win them back, and I think there was another one even. That we haven't updated.
And he is the poll master, so that's
he really
that's what
is
he does.
Doing what
that's
I
right.
do.
That's right. We'll be swinging
polls.
All day today. And all right, we got Adam Schefter. yes, Adam Schefter. Yes, were you a Def Jam comic?
Oh,
TLC.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter coming up at 12:30, bottom of the hour. We'll find out what's going on in his world. Who's the guy that I was thinking about the other day was Aaron Donald. Remember when Myles Garrett got traded and everyone was like, "Oh, Donald's like, oh, now I'm intrigued."
Uh-huh.
Well, we haven't heard anything from him. And I'm curious if Aaron, if Shefty has.
Absolutely.
All right. When we come back, live from Scioto, Zach on ice, off ice. This has turned into a minor mess on our hands. And why did it get to this point? We'll talk about it next. Rothman.org.
Join our degenerate gamblers, Dee Biddle and Scotty Vegas, every Sunday morning at 9 for On the Money.
Presented by Krieger Ford, your best bet for a new car or truck. Visit Krieger Ford on Morse Road today or go online at KriegerFord.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Stay cool again, friends. We have a sunny and hot day ahead with our feels like yet again soaring into the triple digits. Skies turn mostly clear tonight, but we don't cool off that much with our lows in the mid-70s. And then for Thursday, another sunny, hot, and muggy day with highs in the upper 90s and our feels like into the triple digits. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
It's a minor mess now. This was my biggest fear. And this is why the distraction of it is the reason that you have to move him now. You didn't have to move him now. If this doesn't get out, Zach is on ice this season, and he plays the, hey, I've got 2 years left on my contract, and we'll have this discussion in a year. This conversation did not need to happen till next year. It didn't. And my gut says that the Jackets wanted to not maybe force a little bit of thought about it. So this whole first meeting, second meeting, and all that, I'm sure the first meeting went like this. Hey, in a year, we good to go? I can't really tell you that right now. I'd like to play out the contract and then see where things stand. Well, so that's a no? I'm not telling you yes, so if you think that means no, then that's probably what it is. Yeah. And then the Jackets went into like force mode, like, okay, we got it. We got to do it. Now, he's got great value, and he'd have value next year, but we talked about the risk of that, playing him another year and all that. Mm-hmm. Now, you could have maybe improved the team, played him next year. Was there a chance you could win him over if things went well? Possibly. I think that may have been low percentage. But the bottom line is he had 2 years left on his contract, and this conversation did not have to happen. And even more importantly, it did not need to get out. And once it got out, it's now gotten messy. And the report last night was that they had a trade with Dallas where they would bring back a young impact defenseman in Thomas Harley, who was reportedly part of the deal. And my take on this is that Zach had a change of heart as far as Dallas. I can't imagine he didn't put Dallas on his list because he has a no-movement clause. So he would have had to at least said to them, okay, Dallas is one of them. Yeah. Now, maybe it wasn't his priority. Now, the other thing about waiting a year, Maddie, he's got a 10-team next year that you could have done a trade with one of them next year, or maybe he would have waived it for other teams. So, listen, no one's feeling sorry for Zach because this is big boy stuff and this is life. And but I think what's happening here is that certain, like, national and certain parts of, like, the lunatic part of it is like, well, he doesn't want to be here, and good riddance, and he meant nothing to us, and he sucked down the stretch, and all. Like, those are people that are trying to ingratiate themselves to the fan base. Anybody that could sit here and put the end of the season on him is a joke.
That's crazy.
Because there's no way you even sniff the playoffs the last couple of years if he doesn't play the most consistent hockey we've seen out of defenseman 1, in 2 years the way he's played.
1,000%.
Did he play poorly? Not his best?
Sure.
Of course.
Sure.
Did other guys not play their best? 100%.
Yes.
And anybody saying that is trying to ingratiate themselves with the fan base.
That's it.
And that's exactly what it is. Because anybody trying to tell him now that he didn't want to sign a long-term... First of all, he couldn't sign now anyway. Yeah. So even if Zach would have said to them, hey, maybe, he could have strung them along. Mm-hmm. In the back of Zach's mind, he could have said, hey, I know I don't want to be in Columbus 2 years from now, or I probably don't. Yeah. But I'll tell him that maybe I will, and then we'll just table this for a year. But instead, he probably gave them more of an honest reaction.
Yes.
And that put the Jackets into, hey, let's force this now because of his value.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And I think when you look at situations like this, even zooming out from Zach for a second, players that have earned no trade clauses or however they're phrased in their respective
sport. No movement.
Sport, no movement. Fine for hockey. This is the tough part of it when you're a fan. So for Jacket fans, the front office is telling you that we feel good about the offer that we received from Dallas. That was something we wanted to do, whether it was ready-made talent, picks, a combination of everything. I don't know if we'll ever know. But this is the tough part of it, because the player has earned this based off of how good he's been. And in my mind, Zach is no doubt one of the guys around the league that has earned a no-movement clause in his contract. But now this is the bitter part of what this could look like. And for fans, this has got to be a bit of a tough pill to swallow. This may all work out. There's still a few teams it sounds like he's willing to go to based off some of the reporting in the Eastern Conference. So we'll see if that rings true or if that absolutely is the case. But I can't really knock Zach because he's earned what's in his contract. And so when these situations come at his doorstep, he has the right to say yay or nay. And unfortunately, last night for us, It was nay. And so Don Waddell, he's got to now scramble and go back to the drawing board with his people and figure out the best trade return that they can get. And I'm sure, AR, they had a good feel of what they were going to get from other teams and said Dallas was the best one. And so now they unfortunately have to move on from that because Z said, nah, I'm good. I don't want to go down to Texas.
That's what Zach has to wear. Yeah. So hear me correctly. He's got to wear that part of it, that it got out and that he vetoed the trade, that he either had a change of heart or it wasn't something that was his top priority. He was hoping for another city, whether it was Tampa or somewhere else, where he had his heart set on.
And he has to think this way. That's what the reality of the situation is. Z right now, he can't worry about Blue Jacket fans. That's just the tough part of it, right? Like, he has to worry about himself, his wife, his kid, his family, and all of that. And I think that's where I'm trying to keep my mindset. While it sucks on the outside looking in, I don't think it's Zach's responsibility to look after the fan base right now. Even though the fans have every right now to be a bit upset with him about this, I can't blame him for this decision, AR. I can't.
Well, he ultimately controls where he goes.
Correct.
Which is what you're saying. I think where this story took a massive turn, not in his favor, is this: if he's not willing to go to Dallas, and he was, and it was part of the list, and the Jackets went out and got a good trade that they felt was proper value, that's what he has to wear. And that's unfortunate for a guy that was highly respected and highly beloved by the fan base until now. And so he becomes public enemy number one in Jackets fans' minds.
That's unfortunate.
And some media fans' minds and all that. And what's happening here is just because Zach didn't give you a definitive yes, that means it's a no. And so I think we're just unfortunate we're here. Nobody wants this stuff out.
No.
Whoever, by the way, how this got leaked or who leaked it, that's the big problem, because Larkin didn't want it leaked. Kachuk did his best to not get it leaked, which it kind of didn't until it happened. Mm-hmm. And then was like, oh, he got traded. That's how this should have gone down. Yeah. Because if this doesn't get out, nobody says a word. You know why? Because he had 2 years left on his deal, and he couldn't re-sign anyway now.
No doubt.
So this conversation that we're having right now should have taken place a year from now after this season. Where did this season go? What improvements do they have? Who's coaching the team? How does he feel about the organization after his 11th season?
Right.
And is there a future where he feels like he could win here, or win big here, is better put? And he might be ready for a change at this point. We guarantee now he is. And the other part of it is that, you know, I don't think Rick was very honest yesterday, almost to a fault, because there was always this speculation of, is it really true? Is the NHL, is the national media just trying to drive a wedge here between Zach and the organization, or try to get him freed up? Well, Rick's reaction yesterday, I was surprised, I was blindsided. Guess what? That confirms it.
Yes.
So he confirmed it now. Yep. He confirmed that this is what's going on. And so when you have a Norris Trophy Award winner for sale, he's still going to bring back something good. I heard somebody talking about Toronto and Tampa now being in play, and clearly those are both very much in play. But I'll tell you where I disagree.
Yeah.
I disagree that if he goes to Toronto, that winning isn't his priority. I disagree with that, because I believe that with Matthews and Nylander, and if Bobrovsky goes to Toronto, we see how this plays out, and they've been trying to move Nyes anyway. So, and they just got McKenna in the draft.
Right.
Maybe he turns into what they think he's going to be. That's not a complete and a big problem, but
you touched on it, AR. This morning, I saw Pierre LeBrun and Chris Johnson did report that Zach would prefer to remain in the Eastern Conference if he is traded with the Lightning and Toronto, and that's viewed as, quote, the inner circle of contenders or teams that he wants to play for moving forward. I think time heals all, and I think where we are right now, we are in the eye of the storm with this thing for Zach. So emotions for everybody are going to be sky high. But once we get beyond this, I still think he's going to be viewed as obviously one of the better Jackets to ever play. But who he was as a guy, I still think people can come back around in time and respect him. And again, I'm not going to knock anybody for being frustrated with him at the moment based off of the reporting that we had come out of last night. But this isn't done yet, and hopefully Don Waddell and everybody can figure some things out, whether it's Tampa, Toronto, or another team, and get a return that everybody feels good about.
He's got this. He's got some of the summer to do it. Would he like to get it wrapped up so this isn't dragging? Of course he would, but not at the expense of the deal not being what he needs it to be.
Right.
So, yeah, Zach's got to wear this part of it today with the report coming out that they had to deal with Dallas.
Yeah, big boy stuff.
Because if they were on your list and suddenly they weren't, that's a tough look.
It is.
And there's no defending of that. All right, we'll come back. And we'll talk to our boy Adam Schefter and get his feel on Aaron Donald, whether a comeback is in store for him. Rothman and Ice.
Six.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
NFL Playbook with ESPN's Adam Schefter.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
All right, it's that time of the week we get to connect with the senior NFL insider for ESPN, the one and only Adam Schefter. And Schefty, we welcome you back to the program. How you been?
Great. How you guys doing?
Outstanding, my man. So will you be covering the Taylor Swift-Travis Kelce wedding? The countdown is on, my man. Are you invited?
I've never covered a wedding. You're the fourth person to ask me in the last day about being invited. And all I can say to you is that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift invited a lot of tight ends from the NFL, a lot of tight ends, but they did not invite a certain reporter from ESPN. That's the way it goes. Nor would I expect them to invite me.
Okay, I understand that. All right. Well, you're on good vacation on your own. You don't need that. Look at this. Brendan Sorsby finally took the L. Yeah. So he's not going to sue the NFL. There will be no appeal, correct?
Yeah, and listen, I think he was trapped from a football standpoint. There really were not any outlets. And the best thing for him to do was to work with the NFL to do what the league wants, not sue the league. And that way, the league works with him to grant him entry into the 2027 NFL draft. If he was taking them on, they could continually deny him. They don't have to let him in. So to me, that was the smart, right path for Brendan Sorsby to take.
Schefty, let's go up to Detroit because it seems like there's a pretty wild situation happening with now a former Detroit Lion and Terrion Arnold. So fill us in on everything that's been happening and what's next for Terrion Arnold.
Well, obviously he's got a major legal situation on his hands, and the judge ruled that he could be let go on a $1 million bond without an electronic monitoring device. The Lions, obviously, no patience for that, and they've cut ways with him. But it'll be interesting. I don't believe at this time that his NFL future is over. Now, we'll see how it evolves over time. I think there are teams monitoring the situation. Obviously, a significant legal situation on his hands. We'll see how everybody handles it. He's got a lot to get to before he can worry about football, but I don't know that his football career is done just yet.
You've unfortunately had to cover a lot of these situations where teams have had to either stand by their guy or give the obligatory, let's let the legal process play out. Were you a little surprised that didn't happen here, that they completely cut ties with him without him being convicted of anything?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that, I mean, these are major charges. You're talking about felony charges, significant charges, and it's a very serious situation. On the other hand, in this world, you're innocent until proven guilty, and nothing's been proven so far. And the only thing I can think of is that obviously Terrion Arnold had conversations with the Lions before. Maybe there was something that they felt like was being withheld from them that led them to go in this direction, because obviously the Lions wasted little time before releasing him, and we haven't even had a trial yet for him. We have no idea how it'll work out, but the Lions didn't even wait.
No, they didn't wait, and his former coach, Nick Saban, apparently wrote a character letter reference to the judge. So he is standing by his guy, or at least giving him a little bit of his own experience with his former player, yet the Lions said, we're not waiting.
Yeah, and again, it's a situation where I understand both sides of it. There's such significant charges that in a way you don't want to wait. But on the other hand, everybody's entitled to due process. And from by all accounts of the people around him, they felt like Monday went favorably for Terrion Arnold as much as it could be for a situation this serious. So we'll see how it goes, but the Lions have made their decision.
Shefty, we're a few weeks away from training camps getting rolling around the league. Has anything changed when it comes to Max Crosby? Are you expecting that to pick up, business to pick up at all when it comes to Max Crosby here in the next few weeks?
No, I think that he's going to be with the Raiders. I think that the Ravens paid such a steep price, and the Raiders really didn't want to trade him, but Max wanted to be traded. And now it's a situation where I think he's happy to be back there. Everybody recognizes what they have. And my guess is that you have a situation where he'll be in Vegas this season. That's what I'm expecting right now.
Shefty, have there been teams sniffing around at all, reaching out to the Raiders about him?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
All right, so the other big story of the Rams offseason was whether or not Aaron Donald would make a comeback. And following the trade for Myles Garrett, there was a lot of speculation that he could return. Could Aaron Donald return before the Rams training camp? What do you know so far?
Yeah, I think he's going over that in his mind and trying to decide whether or not he'll go. I think the Rams report to training camp in late July. So he's got 3-4 weeks. To make a decision. And I just go back to this. Where else would Aaron Donald be more wanted, valued, celebrated, appreciated than in the Rams organization? That's why I think there's a real chance that they will wind up coming back. No decision yet to my knowledge, but it won't surprise me in the end if he decides to play with the Rams and Myles Garrett this season.
From the organization standpoint, do you feel the Rams would do whatever it took to make it happen?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think that they will express to him, Aaron, we'd love to have you, and then he's going to want to be paid, and can they figure out a contract, which I think is a little bit of an issue, because they don't have a lot of money, and they'll have to find the money, but you could always find money to get that done. You could always find it, and I would think that both sides will work to figure that out.
So, Shefty, we've still got some notable names out there on the free agent market right now. You got Stephon Diggs, Deebo Samuel, Tyreek Hill, Joey Bosa. Of the names that I mentioned, is there one guy right now that does have a decent amount of buzz or around the league as far as interest goes right now?
Well, I think Joey Bosa, I'm not so sure he'll play again. Look, I think there's a group of receivers that are very interesting. You have Stephon Diggs, you've got Tyreek Hill, you've got DeAndre Hopkins, maybe Brandon Ayuk. I think there's a lot of names like that that become interesting. But I haven't heard anything's going to be getting close to them right now.
I think the interesting one for me would be a reunion with the Chiefs and whether that bridge is burned or whether or not, because they kind of need each other in a way. You know, Mahomes coming off the ACL. What do you know about the relationship between Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs and whether, because he needs a home and the Chiefs are hurting for a playmaker?
Yeah, but I don't know that Tyreek Hill is going to be ready till the middle of the season. So, I mean, it's not like you're signing Tyreek Hill to start a training camp and he's going to be with you on opening day. I don't expect that to be the case. I still think he's got a road to recovery ahead of him. I think that if he wanted to do that, there might be some interest. I don't know. We'll see. I just think that his return is down the line, so I haven't heard specific teams just yet.
Shefty, where are we at with the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson and possibly them coming to a new deal? It seems like they've been talking about it throughout the offseason, but nothing seems to be happening right now. Maybe behind the scenes there's more to that. But what's going on with Lamar and in Baltimore and them figuring out a new contract?
Well, I think the Ravens have been ready, willing, and able to do a new deal at all times with Lamar Jackson. I think that the issue is when he wants to do a deal. For whatever reason, you know, Lamar Jackson, who's operating without an agent, just he has never been in any rush, seemingly, to get a deal done. And so when Lamar is ready to do a deal, I believe there'll be a deal that gets done. But for whatever reason, Lamar has not been ready. He's been waiting. Maybe he was waiting for Mahomes. Maybe it's other issues. I have no idea. But when Lamar is ready to do a deal will get done.
All right, my man. Great stuff. Enjoy your time. We appreciate you jumping on, and have a great holiday weekend.
Guys, I appreciate having me today, and good luck from your remote today.
You got it. That's our friend Adam Schefter, the NFL insider from ESPN on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, when we come back, we have extension talks on pause between a certain quarterback and his team. We'll let you know that next. We're live from the U.S. Senior Open. Rothman and
Bing. The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Maddie was a big Browns fan.
Scratch that, we mean he's a big fan of the former Browns.
Oh, yeah. The Baltimore Ravens. This is Rothman and Ice.
Indeed it is. We are live from the U.S. Senior Open at Scioto Country Club, trying to wrangle in a former major winner at the top of the hour. C.J. Stroud has made his stance on a potential extension known. He has made that known, and it's the first time that he can sign a long-term deal. And it seems to me, Maddie, as though the Texans are prepared to wait. So this is the opposite of some that we've seen where teams are dying to get a guy to commit.
Yeah.
And this is the one where they may want to wait, because this recent report confirmed that they're not close right now, and it's likely that it's going to remain that way. So Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reported that talks are essentially on pause. Now, so the question you'd have to ask yourself, is that smart for the Texans to do? Because they made the obvious choice of exercising his fifth-year option. That's obvious. There was no decision there. They have to do that. But that basically ensured, if you're the team, that he's under control now through at least 2027. So they can be in wait-and-see mode. The only reason you wouldn't want to do that is because of the fact where everything's going salary-wise. But I think they're probably smart to play it this way. They've got plenty of time before a second contract needs to be finalized. And you know what I'm going to say, and there's a possibility possibility of a franchise tag being in play, and the possibility of that tag being in play. Why not be patient if you're the Texans? Why not wait and see a little more? Get all the information about it.
Yeah. Usually I'm anti that pathway, but it's hard. It's hard to get over some of the last things we saw from C.J. Stroud. And I think that's what Houston is telling us, is that they were so disappointed and let down and now scared off by those two postseason performances against Pittsburgh and New England that they're not rushing to do this. And
real quickly.
Yeah.
Imagine what they would think if this came up right after his rookie year. They would have been like, please,
absolutely.
Can we do a lifetime?
No question.
That's how funny
so
things.
So to your point, AR, timing is everything. Timing is everything. And I think even if he was just average in those two games, a deal would have been done. Because Houston is telling us through their actions that they were ready to do business within their building this offseason. They've done so with a few defensive players. And that's got to be brutal, for CJ to watch, because you look at Will Anderson, you look at Danielle Hunter, you look at some of the other guys on defense. Those guys are getting paid and reworking deals, and they're saying for CJ, we're good. So he's got to now take the long way back now to some new money, which I still think he can and will earn, because I think when you go through something like that with the capabilities that you already had prior to that situation, to me now it's mental. Because the physical stuff, we've seen CJ execute at a pretty high level in the NFL. So I feel good about his ability to get back to what he can be or what he was before. Now it's about, hey, can I show my team and my teammates that I'm mentally tougher than what happened down the stretch? Because to me, that's what it was. When you just can't stop the bleeding at all the way that he was from the neck up, you were defeated. You were cooked. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold got crushed for the clip that went around when he was saying, man, I'm out here seeing ghosts. I'm sure there's a lot of quarterbacks that have felt overwhelmed in games, but I do think the good to great guys can find a way to say, okay, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm not having all these turnovers. I'm not fumbling all these footballs. I'm not throwing all of these silly interceptions, because they weren't asking CJ to do much. They really weren't. So that's what I cannot wait to see from him this year, is when adversity does come his way, does he have the ability to flush it and move on?
Yeah, and there's a lot, and that's why I think like they could use 2026 as the evaluation year for both of them, not just him, for both of them. Now, I know that they could tag him, certainly, but you know, you try to avoid that if you can. But
yeah.
I also think it's weird because there's a team like TLC's team, like Pittsburgh. Like, what would prevent them from picking up the phone and calling the Texans and seeing how lukewarm they are on CJ?
It'd be a little odd for a year with Rodgers there, right?
Because he would want, it's not like a young guy learning behind
Rodgers.
Right,
that gets a little strange, but I have to imagine TLC may be open to that. But I got a question for you. Baker Mayfield and CJ Stroud, when we get to week one of the season, will both of those quarterbacks, AR, have two new deals? Baker Mayfield, CJ Stroud, week one, will they both be playing under center with their current teams under a new contract?
I'm sensing maybe Baker will, but CJ won't.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. And so the market is obviously sky high right now. And we talked to Shefty earlier about Lamar. Lamar's looking at the landscape. When he gets his new deal, it may not be the tip-top of the market, but we know he's going to be right there. And so for Houston, the dangerous part, I guess, of this is, if CJ plays well, he goes all the way through the postseason or wherever Houston ends up, and he does perform at, let's say, a Pro Bowl level, you know what he's asking for, but that's probably a good problem to have in their mind. It's just different to see a team do business backwards, in my opinion, right? Usually, when you know you got your guy and you feel good about your quarterback, you're not messing around with that at all. They obviously feel better about the guys on defense, and their defense is, I think, a Super Bowl caliber type defense. But it is odd, AR, to see how Houston's doing their business, because usually teams are rushing to get deals done with the quarterback. That way, that deal can get surpassed by the next couple of quarterbacks when the market usually resets.
All right, a little bit of free agency news in the NHL. Mason Marchment is going to San Jose. And you remember Marchment? It's not Marchy. We have one of those. They got him late, and I discussed this a few weeks ago, that how well will a contract age here on a five-year deal to San Jose? And so there is some risk to that. I was all in favor of 2 years and you could overpay. I don't think that'd be a problem. I just thought it's the term that I was looking forward to here. The cap is going up. Listen, he's not the best skater in the world. Those guys can fall off. I wouldn't have signed him for more than four. And looks like San Jose got him on a five. So if he can be more physical with them, maybe he could be on the third line. I don't know where he's going to be. But Marchment, who's a middle six winger but can slot up and down the lineup depending on matchups, was a quality guy for us to have. They got him late, which is what I said. But That's a long-term deal.
Do you think it's that extra year that did it, that fifth year, that pushed it beyond what Columbus, what we were willing to do? Is that what's your gut?
No.
Because usually we know players love years and security. What's your feel on that?
I feel like it wasn't that.
Yeah.
I don't think we were in competing mode for that amount of. I think it was his time to cash in.
Okay.
He had finally done it. I think they knew it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would have overpaid, like I said, on a shorter-term deal.
But I could see that.
I think that it's one of those that I don't think this – they got Nishushkin already, so I feel like they can probably feel okay there.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like there is a little more news that they just picked up. Is it Ryan Lomberg they picked up?
Looking like that's a two-year deal at about $1.3 million a pop, according to Elliot Friedman.
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
I think that's good. He's a small guy. He's a water bug. Ryan Lomberg is 5'9". He's 200 pounds. He's scrappy. And I think a lot of people like him because he's tough for his size, because he has to be. Now, he's a good skater. And he doesn't have as many. He's not as versatile. So I would say that Lomberg is going to be an identity guy for us. Like scrappy, small, tough, being on stuff. But
those guys are valuable.
But he's limited, yeah. Matty. There's a ceiling.
You need more around him. You need much more around him. High-end guys around him. But I like having those guys on your team that can maybe scratch and claw and do some of the little things. As long as your high-end guys are handling business, those guys can be valuable assets to your team.
All right. So there you go. Mason Marchment, we hardly knew you.
Yep.
Got him late. Liked what he did here. But I don't know if that contract's going to age all that well for San Jose over 5 years. But maybe can tighten up his game and be more physical and have a great career. Congrats to him, though, for cashing in. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it's decent amount of money for Mason Marchment going to San Jose. But Lomberg comes back, the scrappy, high-energy kid. He's not a kid. I think he's 31, but that sounds like a kid to me. We'll come back top of the hour. Reset here from the U.S. Senior Open. And could we have a Triple Crown winner joining us? What do I mean by that in golf? I'll let you know top of the hour, Rothman
Foundation.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Anberg. All eyes are set on Santa Clara, California, where tonight at 8, those who have pitch fever will reach fever pitch. The U.S. men's national team duels Bosnia and Herzegovina in the World Cup round of 32, and head coach Mauricio Pochettino knows it'll be a challenge.
We know very well that it's going to be a very tough game. It's a final. I think we arrive in a very good condition. We know that we need to perform, and if we want to be close to win, we need to perform well. Again, a team that is going to be really tough.
In progress right now, Democratic Republic of the Congo leads England 1-0 at half before the U.S. and Bosnia, Belgium, and Senegal clash at 4. Today, the CBJ named former Buffalo head coach Don Granato as an assistant. He returns to Columbus after he was the Columbus Chills' last head coach in 1989. In baseball, Cleveland hosts Texas at 1-10. Cincinnati's at Milwaukee at 8-10. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey kids.
Anthony once did magic for birthday parties.
See, when you say it out loud, it doesn't sound so bad.
Back to Rothman and Ice.
Indeed we are. You thought you had to wait to September 12th for Longhorns and Buckeyes to collide. You don't have to wait any longer. I know.
I'm right in the middle of it.
He's right in the middle of it. You're back in. You're in Columbus, Ohio. We have American golf royalty. We have a Triple Crown winner. I think he knows what that means. He can confirm it for me. But Justin Leonard is back in Columbus, Ohio, ready to compete as a U.S. senior, which you've done before. But you look relaxed. I know you're probably hot, but we welcome you back. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. The good thing is you guys are catching me after I've been eating a little lunch. So I've actually cooled off. My body temp's probably only about 120 right now. Yes, it's warm here in Columbus this week. But, you know, I grew up in Texas. I live in Florida now. It's like, you know, hot's hot. Doesn't matter.
So we're interrupting your nap time maybe a little bit.
No.
After lunch?
I'm not that old yet. I don't need to take a nap every afternoon. Like my dad, I try not to call my dad at home between the hours of like 3 and 5 because chances are he's asleep. I'm good. I'm going to stay awake all day.
So am I correct about the Triple Crown? So that would be USAM, right, at Muirfield Village?
Yes.
I NCAA champ, single individual.
Yep.
And a professional major.
Okay.
The Open Championship.
Okay.
I believe you're one of five.
If that's the Triple Crown, then yes, I've won that.
Yeah, I just kind of threw it out there. Okay, I don't know. Maybe it's really not, but it's...
I thought we were doing a horse race here right. or something. Yeah.
Well, horses for courses, right? And Scioto Country Club has been renovated over the last several years. Uh-huh. So give me your history here at all.
I played one round here in a U.S. Open qualifier. Best I can figure is around 2014. I played here in the morning and then went over and played, I think, Brookside in the afternoon. Made it through, but that's my only exposure. Because it was always the Monday after the Memorial, and so whichever round, Thursday or Friday, I played early, I came over here and basically drove around the course and then, you know, putted a little bit just to see what the greens were like. So, but the good thing is that even though I've only had one round, I actually remembered quite a few of the holes. Which to me that speaks to the design quality and just, you know, shot value. Like, I remember some of the holes. I don't remember every hole, but I remember a lot of the holes. And, again, that was 12 years ago. I can tell you that there's a lot of golf courses that I play once or even twice, and I can't tell you a single hole. That's usually not a good sign.
What course or courses in your mind can you map out almost hole for hole that you've played either a lot of or you just love playing there? Is there a course that you can think of right now and see from hole one through, let's say, the front nine and kind of map it out?
Oh, there's quite a few.
Yeah.
I don't really remember the courses that I don't care for or that I play poorly on.
Okay.
Usually if I don't play well, they're like if it's a tournament course. If I don't play well there, I usually don't go back very often. But, yeah, the courses that I really enjoyed playing.
Yeah. What are a couple of those?
I can't remember. Well, I mean, you've got two of them right here. One, we're right here at Scioto. You know, Muirfield Village.
Yeah.
I won the USAM there, as you said, then played in the tournament a number of years. And then, you know, there's, you know, some of my favorites like Friar's Head, Pine Valley, Cypress Point. You know, a few of those that, I can tell you what club I'd hit off each tee, you know, depending on the wind. And I haven't played those golf courses a lot, but it's just very, very memorable. So, yeah.
Justin Leonard with us, playing in the U.S. Senior Open here, and as I mentioned, the dozen wins, I believe, on tour, and has the British Open and Ryder Cup. You've probably been asked a million times about the putt 99 at Brookline, correct? Do you get kind of, I'm done with that, I'm sick of it, I need to be asked anymore, or do you like reliving it when people bring it up like I just did?
No, it's... Look, it's part of a big reason why people feel like they know me, or you know, you get in a week in, week out tournament, people don't really have a rooting interest unless, you know, you went to the same school or you're from the same hometown or, you know, maybe, you know, in case of friends and family, that kind of thing. But to be in a Ryder Cup situation where people have an absolute rooting interest and they're rooting for one team and they're rooting against the other. You know, I hear about that more than anything else that I've done just because people were pulling for me. And they may not even known who I was before that in other golf tournaments and things like that. But, you know, so no, I never mind reliving it. You know, it kind of lives and breathes with me as well.
When was the last time you saw it?
Saw the putt?
Yeah, just on tape, someone showing it to you. You were on a broadcast, you were doing commentary or... Someone flashed it. When was the last time you visually saw yourself making that? Was 45 feet?
It was,
in Brookline, 99, Ryder Cup, helped us come back to win it. It was the putt heard around the world. When was the last time you physically saw it?
Well, I think it was probably during the Ryder Cup at Bethpage. I'm guessing they, you know, replayed it in there somewhere. Honestly, sometimes, like, my kids... When they're, you know, oh, your dad's a professional golfer, yeah, this and that. Well, has he ever done anything? And, you know, they're like, eh, you know, this and that. And then, you know, a lot of times they'll go home and their parents will show, like, my kids' friends the putt. And
that's
then they'll
cool.
come over the house, you know, a few days later. Goes, oh, I saw your putt. So,
reenact it.
Yeah, so it's like every couple years when the Ryder Cup is around, I'll, you know, invariably saw, I'll look up and there it is.
Outside of playing with the guys that are on tour, who are some of your favorite people that you've played a round of golf with? Celebrities, athletes. Have there been a round or two to where you're like, that was awesome that I got to play with them today?
I've had some memorable rounds. Yes, I remember playing at the... Now, it was in a tournament. Playing at... I still call it the Bob Hope. The American Express, I think, is what it's called now in Palm Springs. And I got paired with John Smoltz, Greg Maddux, and
Tom Glavin.
And
did they
Tom
give
Glavin.
You okay?
Yes, yes. So
the whole rotation.
I had the three of them, and the grief that they were giving each other during the round, it was unbelievable. Mm. But they told the story about Greg Maddux told the story, and he said that Smoltz was like their golf concierge. Like wherever they were, he would have it set up for them to go play, and he'd have the, you know, a car downstairs at the hotel, and he arranged everything. Yeah. All they had to do was bring their clubs. And so I think at the time Smoltz was pitching relief, and I don't think Greg played golf in the days he pitched, but none of them were pitching that day except Smoltz probably go in late in the game. And so They were playing the Phillies, and they went out to Pine Valley, you know, first thing, 8 a.m. or whatever, and they played Pine Valley, and they even, you know, got around and played the short course, and I think they may have gone straight to the stadium, and you know, they got a bite to eat and this and that, and so Smoltz tells Maddox, says, hey, wake me up in the fifth, okay, because he's going to take a nap in the clubhouse, so they wake him up in the fifth and stuff like that, and, you know, ends up he goes in the game, you know, in the ninth inning and gets a save, you know, and so pretty cool scene. So Maddox walks over to his locker after the game. He goes, you know, you had a pretty good day today. He goes, why, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you know, you shot around par at Pine Valley. You come in, you pick up a save, you know, in a close game, division right, or whatever, whatever. And Smoltz looks at him and goes, you know what, whatever. Just be in the lobby at 8 a.m. tomorrow because we're going to play Marion. Like,
of course.
That's, you know, that's how they rolled. It's like the baseball was just a vehicle to play golf.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where they're going, let's plot our strategy on where we get to play.
Yes.
Two amazing courses.
Yeah.
Justin Leonard with us, one of the great American golfers, and the fact that you're out here. Can you compare senior golf to tour golf? I know the fields aren't as deep probably, but when you see some of these names that are on these boards out here, the competitive nature, the length of the course you play, like how would you relate it to the time when you were on the regular tour?
Well, this, you know, when you come to U.S. Senior Open, I mean, this feels like, it feels like a major championship. You know, the build out is bigger than our normal PGA Tour Champions events. The golf course is, you know, they're kind of pushing it to the edge. I mean, we've got, I don't know, 4 to 6 inch rough this week. The greens are already firm and fast. The weather's really hot, so I don't know if they're going to get a lot firmer. But, you know, it's a championship golf course. We're, you know, par 70. We're playing at just over 7,100 yards. I mean, there's some length to it. So, and then, you know, this field is twice the size as our normal field. So, you know, it's a cool feeling. I mean, there's guys, you know, there's obviously a lot of amateurs that are able to qualify and make it in the field. And that's one of the things I enjoy practice rounds is because you sign up a couple weeks in advance and kind of show up and you never know who you're going to play with in the practice round. So, play with some great amateurs. In fact, I'm playing with Mike McCoy tomorrow, in the first 2 days of the tournament with Padraig Harrington and you know, he was Walker Cup captain back in 2023 and you know, played some golf down where I am in Florida. So, it's a cool experience. I mean, our tour's great. It's very competitive, but I think it's the right level of competitiveness. We're all still, you know, very social with each other and with our sponsors and things like that. And then you come to an event like this and, you know, it's a golf course that you know, some guys have played, but it's been years and we tend to forget things. So, you know, you spend a lot of time getting to, you know, understand the golf course and what it requires and all those things. So, you know, it's a fun week.
Real quick, your confidence level in Arch Manning in this Texas team this year, because this is supposed to be the year for him, the new additions in the portal. Where are you at with your Longhorns?
I'm buying.
Okay.
I'm certainly buying. I feel like the expectations that were put on him, you know, were probably too great this first couple years. But I feel like, you know, he's done all the right things, and I think he's ready to, you know, to lead this team and hopefully get to that final game.
Yeah.
You know, everything. I've never met him, but from everything I understand, you know, great young man, great teammate. You know, he realized it takes a team to do it. It's not just him. We're excited about the season this year.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you needed a sideline pass, you might be able to pull that off. He's Justin Leonard, one of the greats. I'm sure the juices are flowing this week. Like you said, it's a major. It's in our hometown. This is where Jack Nicklaus learned how to play golf.
Yep.
And there's just a lot of history. Bobby Jones won the U.S. Open in 1926, 100 years ago. And now they're back again for the U.S. Senior. My man, Justin Leonard.
Thank you.
This was a pleasure.
Thank you.
We wish you a lot of luck this week. No pressure. We had JT Poston on at the Memorial on Thursday. All he did is go
that
on and win it.
Well.
So
yeah, okay.
It worked out pretty well.
I
so,
like it.
A little good mojo for our man, Justin Leonard. We'll come back with ins and outs. Rothman.
Bishop and Friends.
He's terrified of the water. Apparently, he snorkeled for the first time.
An Italian guy snorkeling like that is not a good scene. Yeah, I hope he had some sort of a vest on.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Stay cool again, friends. We have a sunny and hot day ahead with our feels like yet again soaring into the triple digits. Skies turn mostly clear tonight, but we don't cool off that much with our lows in the mid-70s. And then for Thursday, another sunny, hot, and muggy day with highs in the upper 90s and our feels like into the triple digits. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice present In or Out.
Just a little of the old In and Out.
Maddie, in or out on this nice cool breeze that's coming through here, right? The trade winds that are blowing through.
I'm in all day and tomorrow. I think of all the people that are out here, you and I may have one of the better setups going right now. We're in a simulator. Air conditioning's coming through the front door. We got fans in here. We got everything we need. We got two teams. I mean, we can't complain.
Fire and ice.
We can't complain right now. And then talking to, come on, you talked to Justin Leonard when he said, I'm from Texas. I live in Florida.
Yeah,
we can't complain to him about heat. That's the last guy we can complain to. But, yeah, if you missed that interview, it was awesome. And you can catch up on anything we do wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and I.
So I know I went, you know, crazy old school on him. But if you have a chance and you weren't sure about the putt I'm talking about, just Google the 99 Ryder Cup, Brookline, and he's got a 45-footer, and we're coming back. It was unprecedented. We're coming back. He's got to have that match. Mm-hmm. He makes this 45-footer, and everybody, players, wives, girlfriends, everybody rushes out onto the green. And it's a madhouse, but it didn't clinch anything because I think it was Jose Maria Olazabal, or who I like to call Jose Maria, oh, I lost my ball. He actually had a putt, I think about 18, 20 feet, that would have won the hole. He missed it after this commotion for like 10 minutes. And the Americans took a lot of heat for it, a lot of heat. But they were acting in the moment. It was the Ryder Cup. It was emotional. Yeah. And then he misses. We have the hole. We win the Ryder Cup. And he makes the putt heard round the world. And as Scotty Vegas asked him after the interview, if you see the video, you'll see they were the Ryder Cup uniforms that year. The shirts they were wearing were ugly. They were just framed. It was all these like framed pictures. The color was ugly. It was like a maroon. It wasn't very good.
Nasty work.
And Scotty asked him, "Do you still have the shirt?"
Yeah.
He's like, "I have it. It's what do you say? It's balled up in a hamper somewhere." Like, but it's honestly, he made maybe the most famous putt in the world at the time, wearing the world's ugliest shirt.
It's
a great combination.
I think about this, too, because we talked about Z earlier. We talked about him a lot. The moment in the gold medal game, right, where he's a part of that goal that brings it home. When you're an athlete and you can create those type of moments that are going to live on forever, that has to be one of the best feelings. Because for you, as a massive golf guy, you can probably close your eyes and visualize the moment you just described with Justin Leonard. And it's going to live on forever and ever and ever. And so, yeah, that those type of moments, man, are hard to come by individually. But when you get them, that's got to be part of what it's all about, right? It's obviously you want to win all the majors, but you want to leave behind moments for people to where they can tap into that nostalgia. And I think for golf fans, Justin Leonard can create or has created some of that with that moment.
It's not the kids in the neighborhood playing, you know, the T-ball or whatever in their picturing their you, but to hear him tell the story of, you know, my kids and their friends, and they find out my dad's a professional golfer, and, well, has he won anything? Well, yeah, he's won the British Open, and then, but you got to see this putt from the Ryder Cup, and the fact that the kids can kind of reenact that is pretty cool. Yeah. All right, TLC, what you got?
This isn't exactly an in or out, but I do have the results of our poll from yesterday, so let's get some guesses. The question was, dear Cavs fan, if you want LeBron back in Cleveland, why? The first option was nostalgia. The second option was actual basketball reasons.
I think the winner is going to be nostalgia.
I agree.
AR, I think the emotion is what's going to maybe lead some people down the pathway of wanting him back. So I'm going to go nostalgia as the winner. I'm going to go nostalgia on the scoreboard. Final score, let's go 55-45. I think it's pretty close.
All right, I'm going to go 65-35 nostalgia, even though I agree with you. There are a lot of people that are convincing themselves that it's basketball. But we're both on that side. It's that close, huh?
It's 57-43.
Wow. Okay.
57% say they want him back for just the
nostalgia.
To end it the way it began.
And here's the good thing, I think, AR, with how he's still playing, you're going to get both, right? Because you're going to get nostalgia and you're going to get to watch LeBron play at a pretty high level. Obviously, not what he was, but he's no slouch for being 41 and a half years old.
I appreciate that people were at least willing to admit that they just want to see him in the uniform, and even though it has nothing to do with basketball. But that's what we got. I got this for you as well. So the head coach for the U.S. men's national team is Mauricio Pochettino, one or the other. He is from Argentina. So are you in or out in international soccer play having coaches coach teams for nations they aren't from?
I think I'm out, because I don't know if this is a direct kind of apples to apple here, but when Joel Embiid was playing for Team USA in the Olympics, I thought it was weird. I did. So seeing this now for coaches, and I know there's loopholes and all that stuff these guys can get to obviously be on these rosters, but yeah, I think I would like to have an American born and bred person on the sidelines for us in the World Cup. It's not the end of the world, but it's a little odd to me.
Yeah, it's odd to us, but I think it's highly common in the sport. I mean, it's just FIFA has no nationality restrictions on any of that and who they hire with their coaching staffs. But you're right. It does seem odd that I would argue that I guess you could have the right coach that elevates all that competitiveness and development and all that. But I agree with you. I think that national teams should be exclusively represented by their leadership. It makes it more authentic to me, in a way. Now, it's a coach, not a player, but I don't love it, but I think it's fairly common practice.
All right, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this one, and this can go for your house or other people's houses. It depends on their rules. Are you in or out on wearing shoes inside the house?
Yeah, this is a tough one, because I have a couple friends and a specific friend's wife who demands the shoes come off.
Good. Good.
That's a shoes-off situation.
Yeah.
And you know it going in, and once the precedent set, then you know that you're not going to be able to violate that rule. It's a little awkward telling your guest to take the shoes off, especially if you're having... So this is where I stand on it. If you're having, like, a party or a get-together, the shoes are staying on. Everybody is not taking their shoes off. But if you have a buddy that's coming over to watch a game and his wife says, hey, have your friend take his shoes off, I'm good with it. So it's weird. I'm actually on the alternate universe of it, because you think the more people, the worse it would be.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I just don't think you can have like 10 adults taking their shoes off, walking around in their socks. And let's not forget another thing. The feet might not be smelling all that great either.
Well, wash them before you come over.
Imagine coming over today. Come on over.
Clean up those bunions before you come to my house, all right? This rule's got to apply to everybody, whether it's 1 or 10 people. I can't have folks tracking mud and dirt and all that stuff.
I think they're taking their shoes off if they're muddy. That's obvious.
Some people don't care.
All right, so you're saying on a perfectly clean day, we know the shoes are fine. They still have to come off.
See, here's the thing. We don't know if the shoes... You could have stepped on anything.
See those bottoms.
Walking in. I have had a few people. I've gone to their homes, and they do demand the shoes off thing. But they've had, like, footies for people, right? Or socks for people. Clean socks when you walk in.
Slippers.
Like, to the right of the door, there's a bin of clean socks and footies.
Come on. It's like a shoe store where if you didn't wear socks, you get a try-on?
Which I actually think is great. If you're going to make people do that, at least give them something that they can be comfortable in. And have, you know, them walking around, and you don't have to see people's crusty feet, too, so everybody can cover up their toes, which is great. It's a win for everybody.
I don't want anybody barefoot in the house.
Exactly.
So most of the people are going to be wearing socks, I would think.
And I would hope.
Does it depend on the living room, whether it's hardwood or carpet? Because if it's carpet, you're not walking around with shoes.
Yeah, you can't have that, AR. You in on people walking around with shoes on carpet? You can't be in on that.
Not necessarily. I agree. I'm leaning that way, but if it's the one buddy and you're going downstairs to watch a game and
take your shoes off.
All right. Yeah, that's okay. But I just think if you're having a get together, like Scotty Vegas is having a dinner party, he's not asking everybody to take their shoes off inside.
Wouldn't you be worried about more dirt and
you're
stuff
cleaning
with
afterward?
More feet.
If you're having a party, you're cleaning it afterward anyway.
But it's more cleanup I got to do.
I don't think I've ever been to a house party or a house get together, a dinner, where there's been more than like four people. And they've asked everyone to take their shoes off. I have not experienced that.
You're also doing a radio show with a germaphobe, too. So that's obviously going to factor in.
What if you go to somebody, you're somebody who at your house, it's always shoes off in the house. But you go to somebody else's house and they're like, no, leave your shoes on, whatever. What do you do?
I'm going to take my shoes off. That's just like a natural thing for me. Like, I just want to respect people's space, and I don't want to dirty up their crib. So, yeah, I'm going shoes off. Yeah, okay. I'm going shoes off, TLC.
Maybe we get you some of those, like, when the cable guy comes and we get you those things to slip
That's
over your shoes.
That's what I'm talking about. I've been to people's houses that have those little...
Yeah, but that means you're keeping your shoes on.
But I'm fine with that because they're covered up. You can cover them. You got to cover them up. You know?
Oh, my goodness. We get a cable guy visit. Everybody has to put those booties over their shoes.
Yes.
All right, TLC. That's a quality debate right there.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to come back in a couple minutes. The preseason All-Americans are getting lined up. How many does Ohio State have on the list? We'll tell you next. Rothman and
Foundation.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony once got Jack Nicklaus to quote the movie Caddyshack.
So he's got that going for him.
The last time I saw a mouth like that, I had a hook.
Which is nice. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Let's go while we're young.
All right, nothing new on the Zach Werenski trade fiasco. We heard Rick Bonus make his reaction yesterday that, listen, Bones got him believing. We watched the season. They ran out of steam. Zach's last 2 years, consistency is at an elite level. 75 and 81 games, 22 and 23 goals, both years back-to-back. 59 and 59 for the assists, 81 and 82 points. Tampa's in play right now. Toronto's in play. Tampa's not giving up Hagel or Gensel. Maybe Anthony Cirelli, who knows, a two-way centerman. But imagine having Z with Vasilevsky.
Mm.
And that's an offensive defenseman that can take even more chances, a minutes eater, impacts the game. So that could be something. I know there's some people that say, well, if he picks Toronto, that means winning wasn't a priority. I disagree with that. I think Toronto is trying to win desperately. I think even more than most organizations. And the fact that they have McKenna now and Matthews and Nylander, and you add Z to that mix, an elite number one defenseman. By the way, that's what people are missing on this. It's that when you add him to any equation, you become instantly better because of how much he will impact the game. But I just keep coming back to the fact that it's not like he didn't request a trade. He just said, I probably don't have a feeling right now on re-signing. So the Jackets obviously took that as a no.
Yep.
And maybe they were right to take that as a no. And then they had the right to pursue some things. But they had to go to him and say, would you waive your no move? And he certainly said, I'll waive it to certain teams. And then when he did, and they got a trade with Dallas, and then it comes back that gets slapped away, then Z's got to wear that. And that's where it's gotten a little bit ugly. And that's why Don Waddell is probably dealing with Toronto and Tampa now.
Yeah.
Two places that I believe he would accept a trade to. And now it's Don's job to get the best deal he can. So it's gotten really contentious in a way, probably with agent and organization, but Don's still got to keep his eye on the prize and try to get a big-time return for Zach, which he will, but it's odd that it didn't work out if Dallas was one of the teams that he gave him.
That's really tough, right? Because I'm sure Don Waddell was like, that's exactly what I was looking for. In a situation where I don't want to give up this player, obviously he would want to keep Zach Werenski with how awesome he is. When he and his analytics team, the scouting department, all those people that probably got together, they probably looked at Don and said, Dallas probably has what we're looking for in this. And unfortunately, that gets scrapped. And so that's the power of a no-trade clause, no-movement clause with players like Zach's caliber, is that these guys have the optionality to look around and say, I want to go here, I don't want to go here, I could go here and succeed. And so for Z, he's going to be very particular about this because he's going to want to cash in and take his skill set while he's still in his prime and hop on a moving train. And hopefully that train in his mind is going to lead them to a Stanley Cup final, and hopefully they can win it there. And so, yeah, that obviously has to be exciting for Z at this point in his career, just because, unfortunately, what's happened here for us has been very, very up and down, peaks and valleys, and the valleys have been pretty low. And so, yeah, it's frustrating for everybody involved. Obviously, the fans, it sucks. I feel for all of them. But for Zach only right now, he can only worry about him. And it's on Don Waddell to really lock in on what he can do and the best thing that he can do for the franchise moving forward. And obviously, he's going to put his best foot forward in trying to do so.
Well, it's tough now because if it's just Tampa and Toronto competing for Zach, then each GM for each club is starting to look at the other guy and say, what do I think he can offer? Mm-hmm. And if he can't offer as much as I can, then I can probably soften my offer. And what it does is it actually just brings it down. Yes, you'd have Tampa and Toronto competing, but if one GM says, well, I don't think Tampa can offer as much as we can, then I can lower my offer. And if Don is desperate to move him sooner than later, then it does put the CBJ at a disadvantage.
That could happen, yeah. Or could it be that one of those teams covets him so much that they're willing to give up an extra asset or two, that way that other team doesn't get him. I'm going to try to look at it through that lens, and that if I'm Tampa or Toronto's GM and I'm like, this is the guy that's going to put us over the top, we're going to do whatever we can to get him, I'm going to outbid them. So that may work out in their favor, too.
Think of this as a car lot. And you own a dealership and I own a dealership, or we both own McDaniel and Marion. What a dream that could be.
Oh, no.
And so I'm trading in my vehicle or I want to swap cars with you. Mm-hmm. And at your dealership, I already know that your inventory is pretty low, or that you can't part with a certain really nice things you have because you don't have enough vehicles.
Yeah.
And my dealership, I have more to play with. And I know you're the only dealership that person's looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I can soften my trade. I can, because I know you're not dealing with the same inventory that I'm dealing with.
But you may not get the asset. How bad do you want the asset?
I think I'm going to get the asset because the player only wants one of us.
Well, it's according to Elliott Friedman, it might be two. And I'm hoping
one of the two.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So at least as long as there's two, I still feel good about some of the leverage in the situation for Don Waddell. This thing gets down to one, then I think I would roll with you and it's officially cooked as far as the return we could get back here in Columbus. But if there's two at the table, I feel good about it.
All right, the projected depth on Ohio State is they've got some inventory. That's for sure. And the preseason All-American list came out is this Athlon's list?
Yes.
For 2026?
Yes, yep.
So, I mean, we're going to have the quarterback and receiver on there, correct?
They are absolutely on this thing. And according to my eyes, it looks like Athlon did four different teams for preseason All-Americans. The guys that you alluded to in Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sand, those guys pop up on the first and second team. Jeremiah Smith is on the first team. No surprise there. Julian Sand comes in on the second team, along with Austin Seerveld on the offensive line on the second team as well, which is good to see. And what jumps off the page to me when you look at Athlon's preseason All-Americans is there are six or seven of the Buckeyes on this list, and you've got three offensive linemen that are on the list as well. And I know for a lot of us, that's going to be the focus, especially in that Texas game. Ball State, they should not face any resistance at all in that one. But that trip down to Austin, what are we getting from the big dogs up front? Because if we're coming out of that game with questions, or it's looking dicey and they're just knifing through that offensive line, then I'm going to be on tilt a little bit about what this season could be with the schedule that they have coming their way. They go down there and hold up and give Julian the amount of time he needs and allow Bo Jackson and that running back room to get busy. That, to me, really is going to be the sign of this team has a high enough ceiling to where they can win a national championship this year. But I think that's pretty encouraging, ours, that there's three offensive linemen on this list, and according to the minds of Athlon, that are preseason All-Americans.
Did you say there was not a defensive lineman?
There is one. So on the fourth team with Luke Montgomery and Carson Hinsman is when Kenyatta Jackson Jr. pops up.
Okay, so the DN, so starting DN is on there. And you said there wasn't, that's the only defensive player?
That is the only defensive player to my eye right now, according to Athlon. So you have Jeremiah Smith, Julian Sand, Austin Seerveld, Bo Jackson pops up on their third team, followed by Luke Montgomery, Carson Hinsman, and the aforementioned Kenyatta Jackson.
All right.
Is that an alarm for
no,
you?
No, it's not an alarm. I think it's actually a motivating deal for the linebackers. I think it's motivating for Devin Sanchez and Jermaine Matthews Jr. Mm-hmm. I think Earl Little Jr. will be somebody that certainly will wow some people, and that could be a household name here in Columbus by the end of the season. Jalen McClain, like there could be guys. No, yeah. It's one of the things. You're right. We're focusing on the offensive line as we should, but this was one of the best defenses in the country,
yeah.
And the fact that they have one guy on the preseason All-American list is probably motivating.
If it makes you feel any better, on their preseason All-Big Ten team, you do have Quay Rousseau, Kenyatta Jackson, Peyton Pierce, Devin Sanchez, Earl Little. So within the Big Ten, they in the conference, they feel like these guys are going to be good players. Maybe zooming out and you go to the national landscape, there may be a guy or two that they feel like is more worthy at the moment.
All right, we are live at the U.S. Senior Open at Scioto Country Club. This is historic. This was where Jack Nicklaus learned how to play golf. They had the U.S. Open here in 1926. They played literally everything here. They played a U.S. Am. They played a Ryder Cup in the 30s. They've had U.S. seniors here, and they're back again. And it's a great field, historic venue. We are actually in pretty much a brand-new learning center.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And we're in one of the hitting bays here. But
you mentioned Jack, A.R. One of the coolest pictures I've ever seen of the Golden Bears on the wall just outside of the room that we're in. There's probably about six or seven out there the wall.
Can I predict which
Guess
one you
which
like?
Which one you think is my favorite on the wall out there?
Jack Nicklaus hitting golf balls in the snow.
1,000%. Yeah. There's a picture of Jack. Maybe I don't know if that's outside his home, a golf course, whatever it may be.
It's here.
But Jack is hitting golf balls in the snow with a jacket and a hoodie on with gloves as well. That's dedication. That's why he became the best to ever do it right there. That picture right there.
So beautiful. Would you like to know his summer schedule when he was a kid? Teenager.
Tell me next.
I'm going to tell you next and see if, because I know what my summer schedule would be, and it would not be this.
I was at the pool chasing girls. That's all I was doing.
All day, all damn night.
No doubt.
Even nighttime at the pool, perhaps. We'll come back with that next. Rothman and
Easy.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we're at Scioto for the U.S. Senior Open. We'll chat with PGA professional Stuart Sink, as well as Dave Shudlowski of Golf Digest.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick. Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Want to jinx your favorite sports team?
Please get out of my Van Halen t-shirt before you jinx the band and they break up.
Just ask Maddie to print your shirts.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, back at it here at Scioto Country Club. The PGA Tour Champions is here now for the third major of the season, the 46th U.S. Senior Open. And we are the site, Columbus, Ohio, Scioto Country Club. And they've staged this event in 1986. They were here 10 years ago in 2016. Stuart Sink, who is their leader on tour right now, won the first two majors of the year at the Senior PGA and the region's tradition. So he's joined by Padraig Harrington. He's one of six World Golf Hall of Fame members in the field. Other notables, I think, would include Ernie Els, who's a U.S. Open champ, Retief Goosen, who's a U.S. Open champ. And so this is going on here at Scioto. Justin Leonard joined us at 1 o'clock, and he says they're playing it deep. You know, they're almost 7,200 yards, and the greens are clearly going to be fast and firm. They're tough already. The defending champ is Padraig Harrington, and it's a real major. It feels like a major. It looks like a major. The build-out is massive, and it's at one of the more historic golf courses in the world.
What's the purse for this?
The purse, I believe, is $4 million, and the winner would get
about
$800,000.
A little less than a million, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's great. I mean, listen.
That's good work if you can get it.
I've talked to you about this. I think I really realized watching Full Swing the amount of money that's in this sport. Because in Full Swing, when they would roll through the weekends and show where guys finished, and you get to, like, tied for 30th, and a guy walked away with $80,000 or maybe even more than that, I'm like, I should have played golf my entire life, AR, because there's so much coin to be had out here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know about it with your bank account and Scotty as well, but it's like, why did I not commit to this sport more? There's so much money out
Blame
here.
Your parents. they need to start us earlier. I grew up in a generation where you played all sports. We just tried to become an all-around athlete. Yeah. Nobody really specialized. And I agree. If you could go back in time and just pick the sport you wanted and start as early as possible, golf would be a good choice.
No doubt.
The U.S. Senior Open that I mentioned that was played in 1980. As I get a little information, potentially.
Yeah, this is a tweet that TLC just passed along from Dare Dreger AR.
Yeah, go ahead and read it.
And it reads, sounds like Wierenski and his agent and CBJ GM Don Waddell spoke today, and this tweet just came out about 13 minutes ago, spoke today in an effort to clear the air and calm things down. Wierenski is comfortable going back to the Jackets. Waddell could present him with a trade in the meantime, but that isn't on the radar at this point. So I think the key sentence in that for me is, Z's comfortable coming back.
Okay, do you remember when we started the show what I said to you? This was never I have to get out of Columbus now. It never was that. The fact that this got out was the problem. This was a conversation that they should have had next year. Not now, and nobody would have known about it. I'm not getting on the CBJ for trying to get ahead of it, but if Zach told them, hey, I've got 2 years left, let's play out a year, let's see how I feel, let's see what improvements. You heard me say for 2 weeks, I think this was a show-me year.
Yeah.
He's been here 10 years. He's missed the playoffs six straight years. He's had the most consistent elite years the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, this wasn't a problem until it got out that the CBJ, in my mind, said to him, hey, how are we feeling? We good in a year? You good to go? And he probably said, wait a minute. Who can say they're good to go in a year from now? Nobody can. You can't. I can't. Nobody really can. And at least at his point, he can't because he needs to see it. He's got a head coach who's on a one-year contract. Mm-hmm. So, honestly, if this never would have gotten out, Zach is on the ice this year. We see what kind of year they have. They have the same conversation a year from now, and then we go through it. And then if he tells them, hey, 100%, I want to do right by you, I think the real problem and kind of the unsung part of this, and I said before, he's probably got to wear the Dallas part of this a little bit. If it was on the list and they had a trade and then he vetoed it, he's probably got to wear that part of it. But honestly, he probably did them a favor in a way by not saying in the first meeting around the Norris Trophy, yeah, man, we got nothing to talk about right now. I love it here. We're good. Let's talk in a year. I think they forced it a little bit to try to get him to give them, are you hesitating at all? And when he hesitated on, I can't tell you I'm re-signing a year, then this thing now, I'm more upset it got out because I don't think he really deserved that part of it.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
And I think that's where, no one's feeling sorry for him. Hear me correctly. This is big boy stuff. It's pro hockey. He's a beloved player or was in a lot of people's minds. And the reason that they have been as close as they've been is a lot because of him.
Yeah. No
but
doubt.
I think that's where this thing stands for me is that Don, now, can you really walk this thing back? I highly doubt it unless this is happening because of maybe the lack of what they're getting from Toronto and Tampa is not something that Don feels comfortable pulling the trigger right now.
It's definitely a possibility. There's no doubt. I think the tough part now, though, is will they get a gauge of what is going to allow Z in his mind to want to come back as far as team success this year? Because I still think you have to be clear on that. We can get this report that he would be okay to come back for a year, but what does the team need to do around him for him to want to come? Where's that bar? Is it just getting into the postseason? Is it a specific I don't know. And I think that's the tough part of this for Don, is that you can get a feel from Z in his camp of, okay, yeah, he'd be fine with coming back for a year. But for Don, I still think you have to consider doing the move now because of where he is with his status around the league, winning the Norris and all that. We all understand that. But AR, I still think they're left in the gray area a bit here with this latest report because they still don't know and won't know until they revisit it possibly in a year. And so will they get clarity on exactly he would want to see from the team?
Well,
I think
that's
needed right now.
That's fine, but you can look at it the other way too in that maybe they get a better trade next year or something. Maybe he has a great year this year, and maybe they get just as much.
So if he doesn't win the Norris next year, is his value as high as it is right now?
If he doesn't get injured and he has a decent year, of course. I mean, he's not old. So, I mean,
well, he's not old, but he's going to be a year older.
No, but here you're limited to who you can trade him to because he's given you the list, and now if he's vetoed Dallas, the list gets even shorter. Next year it grows to 10 teams, or maybe he'd waive it even more. Like, it grows. The list grows of who Don can do business with.
Completely understand it, but I'm still doing it now because I'm selling high with Z.
If you get the right deal.
Because I don't feel like in a year much is going to change in his mind. I don't feel that way with where the team is at the moment. So I don't want to take the risk of anything funky happening with health or anything like that. I'd sell high, AR. I would.
Well, you're selling high theoretically, but if you're only working with two teams, it's not exactly like this massive bidding war.
You're caught up in the teams that can come to the table, which I understand.
Yeah, it's up to Zach.
I'm caught up in where he is currently as a player and not wanting to take the risk of him getting injured or anything like that. That's all.
I hear you. If the right deal is there.
Yeah.
It's got to be the right deal, though, or got to be close to the right deal. It has to feel that way. Because
do you honestly feel like right here with where we are on July 1st that a year from now he's going to be like, hey, it's all cupcakes and rainbows?
No. I'm not talking about winning him back. I'm talking about opening up the pool of teams that you could deal him to.
I understand that, but
I don't think he can be won back.
Okay, that's what I wanted to get from
you. No, I don't think they'll, unless they make some crazy run that we don't foresee.
Right,
I can't
that's
imagine.
Where I'm at, too. So do it now. I don't want to drag this out for a year when I feel like the guy's leaving anyway.
I agree. All things being equal, I would move him now. I just don't know if all things are equal. Because you don't want to feel forced to move him because if the deal's not right.
But you're already kind of forced to move him. We're already there. We're already there.
But your options are better next year, perhaps.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
All right. I do want to tell you that, well, we'll probably tease this now but... There's a golfer in this tournament that, in my mind, kind of became the people's champ. And it's one of those great stories. Michael Block, I told you about him earlier, in the 23 PGA. He makes the ace with Rory, and he finishes top 15. Well, the senior tour back in the day was 55 or older. Like, in 1981, the USGA lowered the minimum age to 50 to match kind of the senior tour's age requirement, and then Arnold Palmer, who just turned 50, went out and won it. But Michael Block just turned 50 recently, and he's here, and we'll try to get him on next. Rothman and I.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. TSN's Darren Traeger reported Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski and his agent Judge Moldaver spoke with GM Don Waddell today, and the Norris winner is comfortable returning to the CBJ. Per Traeger, a trade is not on the radar at this point. Earlier today, the Jackets have reportedly signed former Flames forward Ryan Lomberg to a two-year deal with an AAV of $1.3 million, while adding former Sabres head coach Don Granato as an assistant. World Cup in progress, Harry Kane scored in the 75th and 86th minutes to help England beat Congo 2-1. Up next, Belgium and Senegal meet at 4th and the U.S. and Bosnia and Herzegovina at 8. Baseball, Cleveland leads Texas 5-0, top of 3. In the bottom of the second, Austin Hedges planted one on a sack bunt. Gabriel Arias scored on a wild pitch, then David Fry cranked a 3-run homer. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
All right, back live at the U.S. Senior Open at historic Scioto Country Club, and I called this guy earlier in the show the people's champ because I think he kind of became that in 23, and he's been maybe living the dream since, but I believe he's just eligible now to be a U.S. senior. Michael Block is with us. Welcome to Columbus. How does that feel to be called a U.S. senior?
I'll tell you what, it's a weird thing, man. You wake up one morning, all of a sudden you're playing in a senior anything, right? And June 15th, I turned 50, and lucky enough to basically go right into the Dix Open last week in Endicott, New York for the first event, and here the next week at the U.S. Senior Open.
What do you know of this historic track?
You know what? I know. You know, I know Nicholas. He was out here, and you know, this is the Grout Learning Center here, which is you know, obviously his coach, and that's this place is amazing. Sayota, one of my good buddies, PGA professional, Jared Jones, is one of the assistant pros here, and we just played in the PGA Championship together in Aronimink, and he's like, we were there, and he's with his family. I'm like, he's like, dude, you need to qualify for the Senior Open in my club. And I'm like, that's a goal, buddy. So here I am, and we've been hanging out this week.
I mean, this is where Jack learned how to play golf. This is where Bobby Jones' ghostly spikes are somewhere out here. 1926, they played a Ryder Cup in the 30s. I mean, I know they've renovated a little bit over the years, but when you get to come to a place like this, does it feel different to you knowing you're at the home of Jack Nicklaus?
You know, without a doubt. I mean, to be where he grew up is pretty amazing, and I was actually thinking about it, and I'm like, he's one lucky guy to be able to grow up on this golf course. I mean, this is a track. I mean, it's a big ballpark. It's first class. It's got it, you need to hit every shot in the book. You need to be straight on some holes. You need to be long on some holes. You've got to be very precise on your shots into the green. You need to hit in the right quadrant. You need to leave the ball in the right spot. And it's awesome. It's a great, great spot. And I've heard so many good things about it. And now that I've been here and I've played it a couple times, I agree 100%.
So has there been any noticeable changes, drastic changes from you going from one tour to the senior tour? Like for an amateur golf guy or gal that's listening right now that's not in it the way you are, what are some of the differences that you see as a player and feel as a player going to the senior tour?
Yeah, very simple, confidence. Yeah. I mean, it is a big, gigantic, capital confidence. Because you lose confidence having everyone be 50 by you. I was just talking a little bit ago about, I don't care if you're playing with the boys on your Saturday group at the club down the street. If you're getting hit by 50 yards by the other three guys every single hole, that gets very wearing on you, your golf game, your confidence level, and everything. And so is what this does bring back is confidence, because it's fun now. I'm actually a little longer than a lot of the guys, which is a lot of fun. And so all of a sudden I wake up the next day, I'm one of the long guys. I'm one of the young guys. I'm no longer old and short, which is good.
I don't know whether they did this for Arnie back in the 80s when they lowered the age from 55 to 50, but the second they did, he won as well. So that's pretty cool. But as I mentioned, I mean, you kind of became a household name for all of us golf nuts back in 23. I mentioned to Maddie, you know, you make the ace with Rory, and I think you were even leading on day two or pretty close to it.
Second place. I was behind Bryson, actually, on day two in late afternoon, yeah.
How did you battle any intimidation then, or were you just kind of very low expectations, freewheeling? How do you walk that balance between what you said is expecting to play well and trying not to care if you don't?
Sure. All the tour events, basically, I played in the majors. It was all about make the cut, make the cut, make the cut. That's all I'm thinking about is make the cut. And out here, it's way more. It was really nice last week. It was the first time I ever played an event where there's no cut. And that was a nice part. I'm back to what we do have a cut this week. It's two rounds and a cut and then two more days. But I know for a fact I can compete out here, which is huge. And now I think I can. And this golf course fits my game. I'm playing quite well. So as long as I got, you never know, right? I mean, today's Wednesday. It doesn't mean anything. Even though I hit a good today, it doesn't mean I'm going to hit a great tomorrow. But I'm going to do my best and see how it goes.
Let's go back to that 2023 moment in time coming out of that PGA Championship. Because when cool things like that happen, that can change your life. For some people, things can really fast track and you get to meet cool people and all that. So coming out of that moment when you were blowing up and your name's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Coolest person that reached out to you, or coolest thing that you got to do after that that maybe you didn't have access prior to?
Yeah, by far and away, Michael Jordan. My idol growing up my whole life, you know. I wore Jordans that week.
Okay.
You know, all my shoes were Jordans.
Yeah.
And he reached out to me.
Okay.
One of the funniest, a good little story, a tidbit on that is, he's watching the final round at, I think he was at the Grove. Actually, he was. He was at the Grove with the head pro from the Grove. They were sitting there watching the final round. And he is watching. He watches me, makes me hit, I hit the hole in one. And he sees me wearing the Jordans. And he's like, he tells his pro, he goes, dude, get me his number. Give me his number. I'm going to reach out. And so the pro's like, how in the world am I going to get his number? And so he's like, well, I went in my computer, and I just looked up your golf course, and I looked under instruction, and there you were, and your cell phone's right on the instruction, so they can contact you to set up a lesson. So, yeah, my cell phone is right there on the webpage, so it was very easy to find for him.
What was the message? What did he say?
So I got quite a few really cool messages, but The initial one was pretty fantastic. The really weird part was I didn't see it for the first 2 days. I had so many texts. I missed Michael Jordan's text. It took me 2 days. The guy that I was with, my Nike guy, said, "Hey, did you see Jordan's text?" And I'm like, "What?" And so 2 days later, I finally respond to him. I'm like, "I'm so sorry. I didn't see this. Thank you so much." I played like crap at Colonial that week, and he texted me again Friday night, and he goes, "You will always be inspiring to me." So I had Michael Jordan say, "You will always be inspiring to me."
Wow.
Which, out of all the texts I got, which I literally had 20s, 1,000, 30,000 of them, yeah. I'm not just saying it because it's Michael Jordan, but the words he said and everything he said about it was so poetic and so just so cool. It's really cool to have.
That's awesome. Surreal. Wow. Michael Block with us, the fantastic club pro from California. All right, now be honest, an hour lesson with you after that had to have gone up a little bit in fee. I can't imagine, maybe a hometown discount for some of the regulars because you want to remember where you're from. But, I mean, have you raised your rate?
So it was, at that point, it was 45 minutes, is $150.
Okay.
I basically had it down to like my 10 favorite people I teach. I wasn't teaching a ton. I was teaching like two a day. And it was like people I like to hang out with, not so much great players and whatever else. It's just like people I like to hang out with and that I actually practice, unlike some people. You know? And after that, I, in the last 3 years, haven't given a single golf lesson. I've been unable to because I literally have been that busy. Yeah. Trying to still run a golf course, and then also being all over the world doing some crazy stuff.
We've had the pleasure of talking to a few golfers over the last couple of months, and the question I've asked a lot of the guys is, if you get your first hole-in-one via a simulator, does that count as a true hole-in-one?
Not even close.
Thank you. Okay, now I got somebody on my team. I've had a couple. Thank you for saying that.
I mean,
it's a video game.
Zero.
Zero.
No chance.
It's got to be out on a real track.
Well, you know what happened? It came. The reason that it's a little hits close to home is because it happened to our boy Shipley. Shipley made it at the TGL.
Yeah.
And they went nuts. And I think they asked him, and he's like, "Yeah, I kind of counted." But I'm like, I said to Maddie, like, "Where are you putting that ball? Like, that? It goes into a screen. You don't even see it go in a hole. It's a video game."
Okay. It's got an asterisk next to it. Is that what you're saying? You can count it as a hole in one, put an asterisk next to it?
No.
Oh, not even that.
Not even that.
Okay.
All right.
Fair.
Absolutely.
It's the holy grail of golf. There are guys that are world class that don't have one, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of the guys. I mean, I would bet. What do you think the percentage is of the guys in this tournament that have made an ace?
Oh, boy. Out of here, 156 players, 140.
Yeah. Still maybe 16 out there that don't have one.
Oh, yeah. Just Freddie Couples just got his first one not too long ago.
Did he really?
You know, there's guys that. Rory McIlroy. So when I made that hole in with him in 23, he hadn't had one yet.
You made an ace before Rory.
Yeah,
with
that's
him.
What I'm saying. I'm like, that's
with
crazy,
him.
Right? Yeah, so it's crazy.
I know we're doing radio and we've got some folks on YouTube, but please describe the haircut right now because this is amazing. What do you got going on here?
Yeah, so yesterday I was walking up 18 with my son who's on the bag, my caddy.
Okay. That's cool.
And I'm like, dude, this is crazy because my golf bag's all United States out. I mean, I got the flags on my head covers, my whole bag's a flag, United States flag. And I'm like, 250 year anniversary, Saturday's July 4th. The World Cup team's playing tonight at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. I'm going, I need that, say USA. I'm going to carve USA on my head somehow. And then my buddy who cut my hair in 2018 at Shinnecock in the U.S. Open is here on site cutting hair for players.
Wow.
And so I reach out to Monty the Barber. He goes by Monty the Barber. I go, Monty, dude, can I come in tomorrow at 12 o'clock and get USA shaved in my head? He goes, dude, all day. And he killed it, by the way.
It's awesome.
It looks good.
Yeah, we'll put it out there. That's the full Monty for Michael Block, who is, as I will always refer to, as the people's champ. A lot of people will be rooting for you. They know your story. And this club pro from Cali who wins everything out there, burst onto the scene, rocked it with the world-class guys of the PGA, makes an ace with Rory before he does, dunks on that, and he's here at historic Scioto Country Club where Jack Nicklaus first had to learn how to play golf, and we're happy you're here. You're making the field for us, man.
Appreciate you guys having me, and Columbus has been great, and can't wait to get after tomorrow morning at 7:15 off a hole 10. Come out and watch.
There we go.
Outstanding.
There we go.
It'll be hopefully a little cooler at that point, so you'll get done for the real heat. Michael Block with us here live at Scioto. We're back in moments. Rothman and Ice in the Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And, well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Hey, it's Anthony here.
I have a special announcement. Common Man and Timmy is the most listened to radio show in the state of Ohio. Coming in at number two, Common Sense. You should listen anyway.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Stay cool again, friends. We have a sunny and hot day ahead with our feels like yet again soaring into the triple digits. Skies turn mostly clear tonight, but we don't cool off that much with our lows in the mid-70s. And then for Thursday, another sunny, hot, and muggy day with highs in the upper 90s and our feels like into the triple digits. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, big recruiting update at Ohio State. Is that your little brother?
Yes, sir.
Good-looking kid. Meet Jet Harrison, son and brother in the Marvin Harrison family. He was a recruit from Ohio State and Oregon, and he has committed to Ohio State. So it's not a massive upset because I think this was the favorite. But the fact that the brother of Marvin Harrison Jr., and he's a five-star, obviously, he's a kid that everybody, a lot of people wanted. And Marvin Harrison Jr. himself, which is a nice thing to say, believed that Jet is even better than he was.
Okay, there we go. Love hearing that. You got to love hearing that. But, yeah, to your point, there was always, I think, a decent vibe around the situation as far as his commitment to Ohio State. The name that I'm thinking about right now is Cortez Hankton. I think this is a big, big win for him to get that ball rolling because I know for a lot of Buckeye fans, you lose a guy like Brian Hartline, there's going to be a little uneasiness there as far as will the high-level recruiting be able to stay at that level at that position? Because we know Hartline was cooking with hot grease for a very, very long time, but Cortez Hankton, when you look at his resume and some of the guys that he's coached up, there's some confidence there for him to go into family rooms and talk to these guys when they come up to their visits and say, hey, I'm a guy that can get you to the league too and get you ready and play at a high level. So I think this is a massive win for Coach Day and Cortez Hankton to showcase that they got it right for now. Because if you had a guy like this who's got the family ties and all that going elsewhere, then there may be some people saying what's really going on here. But I think this is good to see for Cortez Hankton out of the gate. And then you just back to Jet. I think we all know what we're getting. You're going to get a guy that's going to come in and work his tail off, and we probably won't hear much from him because that's what happened with Marvin. His game was as loud as it could possibly be, and the dude just worked. And so I have to imagine Jet's going to come in here with that same work ethic from his dad and his brother. And so that's awesome. It's a feel-good story, another five-star wide receiver coming to Columbus.
2 years away, though. Class of 28. So a little time, just to get everybody clear on that. That he won't be here for a little while. 6'1", and he looks like a future star. He has that look. Now, it's not like his list of offers was... It's funny. It was almost like when I looked back at his list of offers, it wasn't like the Alabamas and the Georgias and a lot of the SEC, Matt. He was more like Penn State, where his dad went Syracuse.
That's cool.
Ohio State.
Big Ten's better than the SEC
Well, Tennessee was in there. Oregon's in there. But there were schools like Duke and Nebraska and BC. Now, those teams offered him.
Yeah.
Those programs offered him. It doesn't mean that he was considering them. But
some heavy hitters in there nonetheless, for sure.
So Jet Harrison is currently a Buckeye for the class of 2028, and that's good news for them. I did want to mention to you the former Buckeye, Jack Nicklaus, and because I teased this many times today, on his summer schedule. All right, so this was Jack's summer schedule. I'm going to say probably when he was a teenager.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So at 7:30 in the morning, he'd get up and he'd walk here to Scioto and hit balls.
Okay? How long was the walk? Do you have that information?
I don't have that exact information. Okay. I used to know where the street was.
To make the story better, we'll say it was 5 miles.
I think that's too long. Let's say it was a mile. 8 o'clock, play 18. Okay. So go hit for a half an hour and play.
Okay.
After 18, 11:30, hit balls. Okay. More. 12:30, start your putting practice. So after an hour of hitting balls after he played 18, he was going to putt. Then it was lunchtime. So he putted for a half an hour, and then he had lunch. At 1:30, then it was instruction with the head pro, Jack Grout. So his first big coach. After that, that was an hour lesson with his head pro here. He would go back out and play another 18 at 2:30. Then after the round at 6 o'clock, hit more balls. 6:30, walk home and have the family dinner. And then that was an hour. And then at 7:30, walk back to Scioto, hit more balls for an hour. And then at 8:30, walk home. Rinse and repeat.
That is what it takes if you want to be great.
Let me see what I have in common with this schedule. I'd probably get up around 7:30.
Okay.
I don't walk anywhere right away. Sometimes I'll choose to ride the bike for 15, 20 minutes. Then I will go do the radio show with you from noon to 3, but there'll be a late breakfast meal in there somewhere.
Okay.
So 12 to 3 is booked. After 3 o'clock, I would say I might snack. Do some putting. There'll definitely be a post-show snack built in there at 3:30.
Gotta have it.
Like if I mimic the schedule. 4 o'clock, potentially a little light putting or a nap. And then somewhere around 6:30, I'm hungry again, so that's the dinner. And then whatever's on TV at 7:30 is going to occupy me for the rest of the evening.
Okay. He's my favorite player now because he's exactly like me.
So Jack would walk 5 miles back and
timely
forth
drop ever
to the course. I think I have an important question.
I don't think it's 5 miles.
In my mind, it was. Because, you know, old people, like, they'd always be like, oh, when we were growing up, we didn't have buses. We'd walk 5 miles to school. Like,
uphill,
you know,
both ways?
Exactly. Like, yeah. Exactly. That was always their story. Did he walk the course, or was he on a cart
when he was
playing?
Oh, at that age,
so,
he's walking.
So Jack was putting in a lot of work.
I can actually give you the mileage. I'm going to work on this.
Yeah, do that, please, because it's funny because I was talking to one of the kids I was coaching about, Coach, what does it take to be great? And I was like, if you want it, if you honestly want it, you have to consume yourself with this and this only. And that's what Jack did. You have to have some God-given ability out of the gate, right? You just have to have that. But if you want it and you have good skills out of the gate, you got to work like that. So it's no surprise to hear that he was really about that action like that and turned into the player that he turned into.
Pretty much had it almost nailed. A mile and a half to 2 mile is the from his home in Upper Arlington, the direct route would be a mile and a half to 2 mile, where he'd go on Wyandotte, and then he'd turn onto Tremont, and then go west on Lane to Riverside, and then he'd show up here at the club.
And we heard from Michael Block, like, a lot of these guys didn't grow up with a track like this, right? So he was kind of spoiled. Like, he was out here earning and putting in the work, but getting to grow up with this course is that's awesome, because Michael Block was a little jealous of that.
Mm-hmm. The country club kid.
No doubt, man.
Now, there wasn't this. He didn't learn on a simulator.
But back then, it probably felt like this high-end stuff was around him, and you couldn't ask for much better than that. That's cool.
All right, so there's your update on that. Pretty cool summer schedule. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
People are asking, where are we set up over here? We are a bus garage or a runway.
We're in the cup.
The turbine spooling up. See, I told you somebody might hear the fan. There is a little turbine in here. Those are great ears from Joe.
Listen, Joe, we got to have a big dog. It's a little too hot out here. We can't have those fans off. Mm-hmm. Can't have those.
No, we're in a hitting bay.
Yeah.
This is when you take the show live on remote, Joe. This is, you got to put up with a few things. So it's, you know, let's see what we got out here. It's
what about 94 right now? What do you got?
94 feels like 107.
Beautiful.
Now, we're not in the sun. We're in the shade.
Beautiful.
So we can feel the heat coming off the street.
Which extreme works best for you? I don't. None of this is ideal, but if you had to pick one, are you on this side of it or the extreme cold?
So my stepdad used to always say cold because you can always put on more.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do the show naked right now, so we can only take off so much. So, but for some reason in my mind, I would always pick heat over cold.
All day.
I don't function in cold. The body doesn't really move.
My mind doesn't work in the cold either. That's the thing for me. I just completely shut down. So, yeah, give me this all day. and tomorrow. I don't know how people can sit out at games when it's negative 20 degrees. And like I always say, I don't care if the Ravens were in the AFC Championship game, AR, and you give me front row seats at the 50-yard line, yours truly would not be at that game. So the heat is where it's at. It absolutely is where it's at. What?
There's no bus driving off right near us. We are off the range. There are no carts. Maybe you're hearing the fans spooling around. Maybe we'll cut that in the next and see if there's a difference. But no, there's no. We're not at a bus stop.
No,
we're not. We're technically in a garage.
Yeah,
but that's about it.
A couple fans in here. A couple TVs in here. I think you could live in the room that we're in. If I could funnel in here food for you, drinks for
sleep
you.
Sleep on this floor,
sleep
though?
On the, yeah, no. I get you a nice little sleeping bag, you know, some nice little pillows. But I think if you had to, you could survive in this room with the golf simulator.
How many days?
It's a question for you. How many days could you survive in here?
I'd be bouncing off the walls probably in a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, it's not. I mean, what do I have in here that.
You have everything. That I think you would need. You got golf. You could watch your movies in here. I'd make sure you're hydrated and fed.
You know that for a fact that I can cast onto these TVs?
I'd make it happen for you. That would have to be a lock. As your agent,
that bathroom doesn't have a shower.
Well, that's a problem. You can do bird baths all for. I think you can get to a month. How much money would you need to stay in here for a month? Because a week is surprising. I thought you'd be.
A month?
Yeah, a month. How much money?
But I can leave the room just to go to the bathroom?
That's it.
Oh, my goodness. I would say 2 weeks tops. 2 weeks.
You're mentally stronger than that. You are.
I get to stay in here and leave just to go to the bathroom and come back.
I'll allow you to open the garage door, get some fresh air.
Go out in the yard, have a little exercise. It's like a prison.
Get you some down and backs in over here. Yeah. Two weeks.
2 weeks and I'm stir crazy.
What's your number, though, for 2 weeks?
$2,000.
That's
maybe
it.
Maybe five.
That's it. Okay, because it sounded like you'd be struggling when they get there. You're being fed, but I thought you'd want a little bit more of a prize at the end to feel good about 2 weeks
of
suffering.
No, I'm not greedy in that way. It's more of a personal challenge.
Would you like to share in what ways you are greedy?
No, just... Don't walk me into that. All right, we're going to come back in 2 minutes. Todd Monken, does he have a new quarterback plan? We'll hear it next, Rothman.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony finally hit a hole in one.
It's in the hole.
So now what? Just bask in the glory?
And that's how she wrote.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, we talked a lot about this, how Todd Monken is trying to change the competitive temperature at Browns practices, not... Well, figuratively and literally. And maybe, I mean, everyone would agree that his biggest challenge is the quarterback battle, but maybe it's not. Maybe he looks at that as that it's a little bit of a reload because they weren't expecting Deshaun Watson maybe to come back the way he has. And now that he's staying there for 7 weeks over the summer, that now, I've always thought that Deshaun has a chance to rewrite his own narrative here, but also he has to be somewhat competitive. Like, I know when you get handed $230 million guaranteed, mm-hmm. a lot of people think, well, what else? What's driving you? Where's the motivation? Well, what's driving him is that he's been injured, and he wants to show that he can live up to some of that money to himself and maybe even the organization. Or, in a selfish way, maybe he's going to use it this year to try to launch himself somewhere. Yep. Outside of Cleveland after this year.
He's got to come back and just show that he's competent at the position. I think that's where I'm at with Deshaun Watson. I've been saying for months now, I think there's a very low percentage that he does play at a high level this year because ever since he arrived to the land, it hasn't been much to write home about. There haven't been Browns fans leaving that stadium, leaving bars or whatever it was, watching him and being like, you know what? That was fun, or this is our guy of the future. And so he's a long ways away from, I think, anybody feeling good about having Deshaun Watson as their quarterback. When it comes to Todd Monken, though, that is, to me, the most important thing for him to identify because that obviously gives him more runway to be the guy of the future. I don't think this is going to be a one-and-done situation, but I do think we are headed towards, in the next few weeks, a pretty fun quarterback competition because I think that's where we're at. coming out of minicamp. It doesn't feel like anybody's separated from themselves, and that's okay. I know Todd Monken would like that, and I do think sooner rather than later when training camp starts that would be appropriate. But we're at July 1, AR, but I think both of these guys have so much to prove that we have just so much uncertainty at the position. But I think around it, to me, the team's starting to come together fairly well, but none of that's going to matter if those guys are going out there on Thursdays, Sundays, and Mondays and messing around and not playing at a good enough level.
TLC, what did he say about the quarterback battle that sounds different to you or anything that is?
We got a couple of sound bites here, so let's start here.
As far as the quarterback competition, playing the quarterback position, the nuances of it, decision-making, all that stuff, I would say, and what was told to me is Deshaun was the clear favorite going in. Shador has closed that gap somewhat based on being decisive and having a presence about him that guys are drawn to. He showed those two things over the last few months. Now, what that means for the bigger picture, you know, I still think if I had to put a favorite on it based on my pulse around the league, it would be Deshaun Watson, but Shador has made it interesting, that's for sure.
Good. I mean, there's competition there. I mean, he inherited both of them, right? The only guy that's new to him is Talen Green. So he's inherited both of them. Mm-hmm. And if this doesn't work out or they play them both and it looks like garbage, then they're in the 2027 quarterback market anyway. And that's maybe where things could be headed. But both these guys are trying to prove that they do have a quarterback on the roster. And where this leadership goes will be watched pretty closely by Monken and the ownership. And so there's a core. I'll read you this quote. Let me go back. What's the other bite that you have with him?
This is talking about how this competition may actually bleed into the preseason.
Were you surprised Monken delayed a decision, or was that the right move for him to wait till they get into pads?
Talking to people in Cleveland and in and around that situation, Todd Monken clearly feels that he needs more time here to decipher this, and what he told the media at the end of minicamp is absolutely true. That he's just not there yet. I think he wants to get Shador Sanders and Deshaun Watson preseason snaps in different scenarios, and teams can do that different ways. You know, they can start one guy the first week, another guy the second, give him a quarter or a half and see how it goes. But I think he's going to structure it in a way that he sees fit so he can glean as much information as possible.
It's kind of shocking that two quarterbacks that have gotten as many on-field in-game reps as they have might have a preseason battle.
Has Shador had that many reps, though? I still think he's in a situation where, what did he start? I think 6 or 7 games in a row. I don't think he's got a ton of work there. I hear what you're saying, though, for sure, TLC, about Deshaun, but AR, that's where they're at. And so whether it's preseason games, joint practices, we hear coaches talk about how valuable those are. You can set up certain situations and down distances for your guys in practice. What's going to be a big-time thing in this as well is, what are they going to get from the wide receiver room and the support around the quarterback, right? Because that unit last year, I thought they left a lot to be desired. Jerry Jeudy and company, yes, Fanning was awesome. But there is a ton of pressure on Isaiah Bond and Denzel Boston and Casey Concepcion to go and go right away. And so two of those three guys are year one guys, and then Isaiah Bond is in year two. And so Fanning, we know what we're getting. But those guys, I think, have to step up and deliver as well when the rock comes their way.
They got to get that running game going again. They do. I mean, that's going to help them out a lot. Because you start looking at running the ball, and can you do it behind this offensive line? Can the quarterbacks help the run game? Because last year, you know, I'm not making either one of these guys Josh Allen, but I'm just giving you stats. I mean, the Bills basically led the NFL. They had 547 rushing attempts. Now, James Cook had 309 of them. The second leading rusher on the team was Josh Allen. At 112. Cleveland was more than 100 attempts behind Buffalo. So Quinshon had 230 and Dylan Sampson had 65. And Shador was third on the list with just 21 attempts. So I don't really know where the offense is going. The identity, what is the identity of the offense? I'm with you that any quarterback needs help and needs weapons. But, I mean, if Monken could get the identity where they could get back to being able to run the football a little bit.
Yeah.
That would help them tremendously.
And I think, you know, your offensive line can help lay the foundation of what your identity is as a football team. And so you look at what they did with bringing in Fanoa, bringing in a bunch of veterans up and down that offensive line. That's really the key to everything, right? So talked about the importance of the wide receivers. That's not going to matter if we're talking about a unit up front. That's Swiss cheese. And so I don't think that's going to be the case. And so Todd Monken told us when he took the job, we got to build this offense from the ground up. Yeah. And as soon as we heard that, that was pretty alarming. But I also think you have a chance to get going fairly quickly if Fanoa is going to be ready to go, which I think he will be. But these veterans are going to be a top 15-ish offensive line. You get that, I think you'll get the best of Shador and Deshaun, whatever that is. And I think the playmakers around them are going to do their part. I'm with you on the run game. No matter how great you are or bad you are as a quarterback, what can help you is a good run game. And I'm a believer in Samson and Quinshon Judkins. But I think it's on that offensive line, as it usually is for every offense. And so that's going to be the key to this. They get that, and I think you're talking about a much safer floor on the offensive side.
It's going to be a hard evaluation because I don't know how much team success they're going to have this year. They've got a good core of players. They do. They are missing that definitive quarterback that they know they can build their franchise around. Yeah. They're hoping maybe that the lost money can be found with Deshaun Watson or Shador actually shows he can win the battle there, and then you certainly have him in the mix because he's a young guy. But, yeah, I mean, I look at Quinshon and Dylan and Casey Concepcion and Denzel Boston and Fannin Jr., and, like, they have players.
They do.
It's just, do they have a team yet? And that's why it's going to be very hard. And I think when we talk about Cleveland, we have to just remind ourselves that it's not really truly about, you know, team success this year. You know, can they settle in on a quarterback? Mm-hmm. To get to the end of the year where they think, hey, we got the guy on the roster, then that allows them, with all the ammunition they have next year, to really improve the team around whatever quarterback they take.
Yeah.
But if they're resetting at quarterback again with a rookie, like, unless he's just all world right away or they feel like they can move, then okay, I'm fine with that. But that's where I think Browns fan is thinking, can we catch a little break here with one of these quarterbacks to build around? And if you can, then the ammunition you have next year, you can really improve the team.
That's the perfect scenario. Perfect scenario if you're a Browns fan is exactly what you just mapped out. A guy that's already in-house is our guy, and then we got money to spend elsewhere. They're not a very expensive team anymore, right? You take Miles out of the equation. Plenty of young guys in the mix that are on young-ish to rookie contract. And so, yeah, that would be awesome. I don't think that's where we're headed.
Well, we may not be. And then even if we are headed that way, the tough one that you and I have discussed for months now is if it's Deshaun and you have to give him another big bag, how comfortable is that going to feel? Especially with a guy who may be another Achilles away from more money.
If he's good, I think it's a very comfortable thing. I think that becomes fairly easy. If he's just I don't think there's a discussion to be had. You move on and you bring in another guy. But if he's good, there needs to be serious consideration with what do we do here before you just say, hey, yes, he's a free agent. We're not going to try to negotiate with the guy.
All right. To be continued on that, we'll come back with Tell the Truth, Rothman and I.
Starting Saturday, July 11th, we'll take you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Buckeye football history. It's Buckeye Weekly, Saturdays at 1 p.m.
Hear the games on the Fan, OhioStateBuckeyes.com, and on the Learfield Varsity app. Go Bucks! The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, live here at Scioto Country Club. Historic Scioto. Home of the U.S. Senior Open. That'll get going tomorrow through the holiday weekend. The major is back. It feels like a major. It looks like a major. And it is an absolutely dynamic golf course and club. So we're thrilled with all the people that helped make this happen today. TLC, take us home.
I can't keep track of what's made it on the air or what was discussed off the air. Did you guys already give your thoughts on Bobrovsky going to Toronto on the air?
We have not.
Well, there you go. Sergei to Toronto.
Yeah, and I think that might even help the Zach situation. I mean, not that he wouldn't have wanted to go there to begin with, but it's for all the people that say that Toronto is not into winning, that's wrong. I mean, they're trying, and they're trying more than most. I think that's the difference. Their ownership is going to go pedal to the metal, especially if they get Z. You add Z to Matthews and Nylander and McKenna and the hope that he's going to give them, and you add Bob to the mix. They've been trying to move Nyes anyway. So I don't know if this is going to happen. It sounds like Don Waddell's walking it back. But listen, Bobrovsky is a, 37-year-old, two-time Vezina, cup winner. Like, you know, is he the same Bob before? No, but I wanted him. Actually, he probably, Edmonton is who really should have tried to get him. And that would have kind of helped them a ton. But, yeah, he's still Sergei Bobrovsky. He's still a two-time Vezina winner and cup winner. And that should give them some stability.
Career 9-12 save percentage. You look at the last few years for Bob down there in Florida. It's six shutouts, five shutouts, four shutouts. So he's one of the best in the sport. And I'm with you, AR, when it comes to the appeal of what Toronto is now for Z. That may be what he's looking for, right? To go up there, you look at those names on paper, you know what you are as a player, and you're like, yeah, add me to that mix, we're going to be a problem. And so now I hope that's the case, because I would like to get this done sooner rather than later with Z.
You know, I would too, but I feel like it's, I don't know. I mean, walking this back seems really tough. I don't know what damage has been done. There's been too much public. But I'll reiterate, if the deal isn't right, they can't just force it. But I'm with you on how distracting that would be, because the bell, you can't unring the bell completely, but it would be tough to ice him this year and have the fan base feel like, all right, how do we react to this? I said it from the beginning, and I asked Don directly, did he request a trade? I think this was more the CBJ reacting off of Zach's hesitancy, which he had every right to hesitate. He's got 2 years left on his contract. This is a conversation that should have happened a year from now, not now. Or, at the very minimum, have the conversation now, but don't let it get out somehow. And
God, who let that out? Man?
Well, anybody could be. It could be. I mean, I doubt it was on the Jacket side. They wouldn't want it out.
And is his agent?
And I don't think, well, no, I just don't think he'd want to put his client in that position. Yeah. I think something happens that happens in the human element, which is, I tell you something, Maddie, don't tell anybody. And the wrong guy told the wrong guy who told the wrong guy. And that's what happened.
See, I'm the right guy.
No, you may be the right guy.
All your secrets, hush, hush. They're safe with me. But I hear what you're saying.
That's what happens.
I know. I hear what you're saying. It's interesting because you brought up the fans and what a possible reaction would be for him if he's still a part of this year's team. I don't think, AR, we're looking at it. Do you think they're going to boo him?
He was always comfortable playing here this year, in my mind.
I don't think they'd boo him game one. I don't think,
I think they wouldn't know how to react.
Okay.
I think a large percentage of the fan base would try to win him back in a way. And then there's a small percentage that he would certainly get booed.
Okay. But that makes me feel, I think it's very small.
I mean, it's, I just don't know how he could truly walk this back, but maybe this is Don trying to soften the desperation that might feel that's out there on that they have to move him now. And when you're only dealing with two teams, perhaps, it does limit your ability to leverage those teams for the best offer. You still have the prize piece in the Norris Trophy Award winner. However, and I said this earlier, when you know that two teams, when you only know it's one of two, perhaps, one team can now out-leverage the other, but they may not. They know what you can offer, and they know what they can offer, and that's how it puts the CBJ at a little bit of a disadvantage.
You and I see that a little differently. I actually look at it as a good spot to be in, because there is only two, and one, they're going to want to outbid each other. But, yeah, I just think, man, this is all, like you said, this never needed to get out. That's where this got messy, but this is big boy stuff, and Don's going to deal with it the best that he can. I don't really feel bad for anybody involved, because they all kind of put themselves in this situation with the lack of team success, which I think is driving this for Z, and so they've got to make up for it the best way that they can.
He was entitled to let another year play out. He was. He had 2 years left on his contract, and he can't even sign anyway now if he wanted to.
Right.
But I think the CBJ probably wanted to get out in front of this, because they see what's going on, and they want to get the best for the guy if he has no intention. But Zach not telling them yes automatically equaled a no in their mind. And I think that's what fast-tracked this, and it didn't need to get out there. Because then you could walk this back. Hey, the right deal's not there.
Yeah.
And nobody has to say anything because they're 2 years away. And that's the shame of it all. Because I think it put Zach in a tough spot, and now he's put the Jackets in a tough spot, and now it's a little bit of a mess. Because if he was being honest with them, that should be applauded. But it won't be applauded by the fan base because of what just happened. But if he said to them, hey, I'm going to be really honest with you. I can't tell you right now. I don't know. There's a lot of instability in the organization. Mm-hmm. I've got a coach on a one-year deal. I don't know the improvements that are going to happen. We haven't made the playoffs in six straight years. Like, he was entitled to kind of table it for a year.
Not enough security around the situation.
And that would have been a good answer as long as it didn't go public.
Right.
And now it feels like that...
Somebody snitched.
And now they're trying to walk it back. And that would be... I mean, I'm rooting for that, actually. A little chaos to have him come back for a year. Because I don't think it's going to harm the deal all that much. But
is that a good environment, though? That's where my mind goes.
It's a distraction.
And that's what I don't like. And that's why I'm pretty adamant about doing it now, because that, for everybody involved, is an everyday, every pre- and post-game interview for the head coach, for Z, for everybody. It's just never going to go anywhere. And those guys might be like, you know what? I don't care, Matty Ice. We're good. I'll deal with that, and we'll deal with it every day. I just don't think that's a healthy work environment to be in.
And that is telling the truth, TLC.
That is telling the truth.
It's been a great day out.
Maddie, how much, I mean, is it possible that I was able to shed a couple of pounds today? I haven't eaten all that much.
I think we did enough movement.
No, just the heat itself, being in the sauna?
We cracked the seal a little bit here, but no, we needed to get out there and move around a little bit.
Could have done some 40s right here.
Absolutely, that would have done it. That would have done it.
Hey, to Tom Sprouse, to the USGA, to Michael Block, to Justin Leonard, to Scotty and Jake. A lot of work went into taking this baby on the road in 107-degree heat. We appreciate you. Come out and watch these guys. Root them on. We got a major in our hometown. We got a holiday week. Put this on the agenda. You will not be disappointed, but stay cool if you can. All right, Ice, any parting words?
I love everybody. Goodbye.